Hey, what's up, people? Welcome to Garage Media Junkies, episode 69. The podcast you're about to listen has some mature content, so listener discretion advised for this episode. Enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Garage Media Junkies. I'm the Groovalicious tail end of a peyote field narcoleptic binge sleep, Sydney.
Awesome.
And welcome to episode 69. Joining me today is
Mr. Hugo in front of the table. Yay! Your average media consumer.
You're average?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
They're just average.
Setting the bar so low.
it's always pretty low. You can always get better. Well, we have like our purest artist, Sydney.
Yeah.
That's a cool nickname. We have the sexiest boys in podcast world.
That's my only claim.
Mr. Diego Luna.
Oh, yeah. I shaved today, too. My face.
Nice.
I have to always look like Diego Luna.
So I'm just the average student here.
Yeah.
I don't have nothing to...
I'm the average consumer.
Starting this episode off with a positive note.
Right.
Right.
And today we have two other special persons. Caroline Espinosa is here.
Hello.
And Nicole Hendricks on the other side.
Hello, everybody.
So, guys, before we start, any social media... do you want to give to people in case they're interested in what you will have to say in this podcast? You want to start, Chris?
Absolutely not. Nobody cares what I have to say other than what's on this podcast.
Well,
I mean, if you want to find me, like, gamer tag is at Flinzy, EPPHLEN.
Yeah. Go and kick ass. Yeah, Chris ass.
Just destroy me. Other than that, it's just social media on Facebook.
People are going to take that so
I know. I don't care. This is 69.
Get
you're,
ready.
You're going to get lots
it's a
of these.
Warm up, yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Caroline?
Unsolicited.
I suppose if you're interested, Instagram is at it's Caroline Marie. It's fairly simple.
Yeah, like I believe me, all these four people are more interesting than what I have to say on Instagram. Sydney.
If you don't already know who the fuck I am, then get out of here.
No, what are you doing here?
Get out.
I said that at a bar recently.
Oh. How'd that go over?
I don't remember.
She's like, I blacked out.
It was all just colors and shapes after 10:30. No, my drag king Instagram is Vigo Von Ego. I'm not really on Facebook. Don't hit me up there.
I just deleted my Facebook account recently.
Good, do it.
Yeah, don't need it. Whatever. Okay, cool.
I wish to not be found.
Oh, okay, perfect. That's fine.
Ooh, hard to get.
She's a mystery.
You're going to have thousands of requests.
Who's that one? Let me know if you find me, because it should be pretty locked down.
Ooh.
Public educator who has to lock her things.
Right. And if you still, like, for some reason are interested, you can find me on Instagram as Hugo Mesa Soto, Mesa with Z. And also YouTube. I have a Twitter account, but I don't use it that much, so. Yeah.
I mean, I do too, but it's completely blank.
Yeah. I don't know. But whatever, today's mysteries number 69 podcast, where we tell you our deepest, sexual, darkest, disappointed secrets.
Oh my god.
Movies.
Welcome to the lewdest, crudest, most disgusting thing you're ever going to find outside your parents' bedroom.
My god.
You don't know my parents.
I don't.
Yeah, yeah. But now, today we're going to talk about this. Like, we hype it up for a couple episodes. 69. Haha, we're so smart. We related to sex.
Can't wait till we get to 420. Episode 420.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Let's get to 100 first, Chris.
Yeah. So. We hype it, we say we're going to talk about our experiences with, not precisely, I mean, it's not, let's not get confused, it's not porn related or anything like that.
No.
At all. So if you're that guy, get the fuck out of here right now, because this podcast is not for you.
It's twice now we've said get the fuck out of here in like 3 minutes.
We really do want some of you to listen to us.
Yeah, just the ones, but definitely not the ones that are for the porn here. It's more about
we're not perverts, we're just a little perverted.
We're
like
weird.
That.
Oh,
I'm gonna get you a shirt that says that.
Thank you.
We need to start like rolling those shirts. So yeah, it's more about movies that somehow I guess we start like waking up sexually.
Yeah, spark the sexual awakening out of each and every one of us. I mean, whether you are a sexual creature or not, there has been a time in media where something has come across that screen and you were
right.
like From, what is that?
Like from, I don't know, seeing a nipple to like...
Well, yeah.
I don't know, suggested.
Like... Or even just the act of romance or just the chemistry between two characters that would make you feel something and like resonate in you. So any of those things are game for today that we're asking of everybody.
There you go. So we have a pretty good like different perspectives.
For lack of a better word, we have a really good spread.
I guess.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Diverse panel.
You're going to be throwing these ones all the
time. I've been thinking of this for like 50 episodes so far. Do not take this from me.
All right. Who wants to start like with some movie, maybe? Not precisely as a kid. Like we're already, we're being clear that from all of these group, myself is the one that kind of had more liberties, I guess, as a...
Yeah,
with media.
Yeah, so
some of my household is pretty unhinged.
Yeah, I mean, I will be my dad. I will see my, with my dad, and then suddenly like, whoa, tits, and then like, oh, sex, and I'm just watching. And my dad, you're supposed to put your hands in your face. Yeah, but dad, let me open my finger.
But that's why God gave me fingers to spread them.
So yeah, like that was my experience with some of them. So I want to go. One of you go first. I'm gonna reserve my stuff for.
For later.
Yeah. Any? Volunteer? Any movie?
Okay. Like, to anyway. Start off on a weird note, as a child, you know, you're watching something innocent, like Lion King. And you're like,
Lion King.
My first, I feel like chemistry-wise, yeah. When they did the whole roly book, you know, down the hill, and Nala gives that look, I was like, they are feeling each other? There's some things happening.
Oh. So for I don't know romance, what. Then, yeah.
Yeah.
That counts.
But like chemistry-wise, yeah. It was just like from a cartoon, and I'm little...
I'm with you. I remember that scene, like, oh.
With Nala.
Are there...
And the bedroom eyes. The come hither eyes.
I think, even as a kid, just like, I think chemistry-wise, that hit me. Because it wasn't like one of the others.
But it definitely, really like, did something where it was just like you felt that connection between those two characters.
Yeah.
And that sparked something in you. Yeah, like, yeah. I can feel that too someday. Or,
oh, my.
Yeah.
Can you feel the love tonight?
Not planned.
Yeah, there's the beauty of this, like having more people.
And so that's interesting is that there's this whole phenomenon of like, I wouldn't call it furriness, but like that Disney...
Not in that realm. Not
poor
there.
Choice of words.
I know. But like
do
this,
not put me
with
that
like
category.
Disney, yeah. Like even with its like drawings, making things not suggestive, but like it definitely like right. Awoke a lot of like people.
It was
like,
palatable.
Yeah.
I just felt it.
Yeah.
So... That's my weird one for, like, a young age, like, the youngest part of me that I can remember. So,
Yeah, cartoons, sometimes they have, like, secret, like, little things. We talk about my kid loves the Boss Baby.
Yeah.
There are, like, a few things, right? They're like, that's like...
Innuendos.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Yeah, I can go. Mine would actually kind of be in line with that, but it would... Probably be like Who Framed Roger Rabbit with Jessica Rabbit, like as a young male, and like watching her just like walk on stage. Sydney snapping, by the way, you can't hear it.
Hey, but is that possible? Death? They're huge.
Just to see it like drawn that way, and like to have her act that way, even though I was like probably, I mean, it came out like the same year I was kind of born, so I watched it when it was like out on VHS. Yeah,
same.
But it was just like. My poor brain was just like, yeah.
Well, the lighting in that scene is so superb, too.
Yeah. Like, oh, here's our purist.
I'm sorry.
No, I agree with that.
But really, it's the way that that movie integrated animation and live action, it's still one of the benchmarks for that kind of acting where you're, you know, basically...
Early green screen acting,
Basically, but... Yeah.
Take that, Pixar.
That moment is just when she walks out on stage is quintessentially the scene for that kind of film style.
Do you feel like the wolf? Your eyes pop?
No, I can remember it. Like it was that moment where it wasn't just like I have a crush on somebody on screen. It was just like now it's taken to the next level. Yeah, now it's like a different kind of chemistry. Although like at that age, I couldn't.
Ding,
I couldn't.
It gives
I couldn't
you chills.
Yeah, like, but I couldn't like give it like an actual like term of like I am.
Yeah,
lusting over this person. It was just like I have so much. I guess the only word I had at the time was like love for this person. I'm very attracted to this person. Yeah, I just couldn't verbalize it. It was just like I want to watch that again and again and again.
Freeze.
But that was it for me, like as a young kid.
That's a good one. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I remember that red suit. I'm like, oh.
A sparkly, deep V red suit, high slit
hey,
leg.
Mom,
yeah.
When I can get one of those.
And the way her hair is like
yeah. half over her
eye.
Face. Yeah. They like, knew what they were drawing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's that cool, like I'm not interested kind of stare, but it's like.
Yeah. It's the kind of woman that they will tell you back in the day, I don't know, probably today, those meats are disappearing. You know, the way things are going. But yeah. back in the day, that was like the ultimate. You want to get a girl like that.
Yeah, the fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Nicole?
So I'm having a hard time thinking of things. I knew about sex from a young age, but my mom also had it pretty locked down where we weren't allowed to watch rated R things.
Right.
So I remember, I think the first rated R movie I saw was Legends of the Fall. And I must have been like 9 or 10. And she told me the reason I was allowed to see it is because the sex scene was like a beautiful, authentic,
Vicky.
Like romantic sex scene. It wasn't like a dirty one.
Right.
So I remember being like, oh, I'm going to see a sex scene. And then it was, I've only seen that movie that one time. I think they're like rolling around in the crops.
Wow.
We're learning more about Vicky here than yeah. you. I mean, jeez.
But I remember like not being able to see much yeah. and being like, oh.
That's it.
Okay. Right. Like, what did you want to see more of? Like,
well, like a
well, like you didn't see any body parts. Right. You yeah. just saw like rolling around. Yeah.
Enough that you can
roll into
put the pieces together. Like,
yeah,
oh.
I think it was a roll in the head. I have to look back and see. So I remember feeling like that was like disappointing. Like, because, I finally get to see this rated R movie. Yeah. And then there's like nothing there. I did have a friend who did get like the Showtime and the HBO channels.
There we go.
So when we were at her house, we would sometimes see it and try and watch it. But
it was the password thing, right?
No.
Oh, she had the password?
No, yeah, because... growing up here, like, you could buy HBO and Showtime or not.
Yeah.
So it was either, like, on or off.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
But, so we would, like, try and see things, but they were just always snippets. Mm-hmm. So I remember just wanting to see, like, snippets. More out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Mm. But it was, you know, like, some show that would come on HBO.
Yeah, because that's a lot of, like, softcore stuff, too, where it's, like...
Golden Channel.
Not even that. It was just, like, you'll have, like, slow pans of, like, them just dry-humping. Yeah, yeah. And then you're just like, okay, that's it. Everybody from the waist up.
Yeah, I just remember, you know, because you're just curious, so you're, like, trying to see it, and then...
Well, we all probably at that age would have been so curious about things like that. I want to imagine.
Yeah, because, again, a lot of this is pre-internet.
Yeah.
Like, internet was around... But it wasn't, like, easily as... I don't know about the rest of you, but it wasn't as easily as accessible.
Well, there's a lot of jokes, especially with comedians. They talk about that, like, porn the early days.
Yeah.
Like, it will take you, like, an hour to...
Well, yeah, because it was on dial-up. And the whole house knows
well,
you're using
and
it.
I'm even, like, a little bit older than most of you guys.
Yeah, bro.
So I vividly remember, like, certain scenarios where we were trying to look at certain books that parents have. And I remember, like, 3 different ones.
It's media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we had, my parents played softball on a team, like a co-ed team with a bunch of their friends. And one of the families had this book called Rude Food. And it was like, you know, it had like breasts covered in strawberries.
Ooh.
Or like
oh my goodness.
A penis. And, you know, they were like photographs, but with food. So we always tried to sneak
like
upstairs.
Like Austin
and...
Powers level, like where they have it like always covering their genitals.
I think you saw quite a bit. I remember seeing quite a bit. And they had this really cool house where there were, like, 3 or 4 levels. So it was, like, this attic level where the roof was shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And we would always try and sneak up there and look at Rude Food.
That's so great.
Another of my friend's mom was a counselor. And, like, so she had, like, she didn't have her PhD yet. But she had all these books about, like, human sexuality. So we would, we found, like, the joy of sex. And we'd be looking at their drawings.
I want to see that book now.
Seems, food.
Sounds really artistic to me. Yeah,
I'm looking up.
Sounds great. Yeah. I don't know.
Educational purposes
for science.
We'll do a lottery to those of you who comment on this.
Yeah,
whoa,
we'll draw a random number and see if Rude Food is still in publication.
Oh my god! 1980, January 12th. It is not still in publication, but there are people who are straight up still selling this thing on Amazon.
It was black and white? Or
not all.
Okay.
Oh, no, no, no. Those, that's color. I mean, the young woman on the front has a bushel, or what do you call a satchel of grapes? What do you call it, like a vine of grapes? I don't know, but she's got that
just
on her
a bunch
pelvis.
Of grapes.
A bunch of grapes. That's supposed to be a bush.
That there need to be eaten.
Yeah, 1980.
Well, maybe not, but...
New and used, $19.
Make wine.
There you go. We'll send that to you. Yeah. Please comment.
I crush the grapes.
Comment and we'll send it.
Thank you, Sydney. That was awesome. That's a really awesome comment right there. There's a reason I love you guys so much. What about you, Sydney? Lenny?
I have actually already talked about this briefly.
Thanks,
but my awakening moment was I was 8 years old and my dad had taken my sister and I to go see James Bond, Die Another Day.
There you go.
Soundtrack done by Madonna. Thank you. And yeah, there was this moment where Halle Berry's character walks out of the ocean in an orange, in a creamsicle orange swimsuit with a white belt and tubing on the top. I remember this.
Wow,
vividly.
All the details. Damn.
The belt was like, kind of, it was a large belt and it had four holes.
My God.
Yeah, it has
very
everything,
distinct.
Yeah.
Yeah, halter top bikini.
I know what I'm going to give you for present for your next birthday. Like a, you know, normal
cut
size.
Out. Cut out.
Cut out of yeah. Halle Berry, thank you.
Yep.
I think it was, it's like a utility sort of looking yeah. swimsuit, but it was still really cute. And that was the moment.
That like, you were like,
what? It was in slow motion.
Yeah, yeah.
And just the lighting was done really well in that scene. One of the only scenes I remember from the entire movie, other than the one at the end where Halle Berry and James Bond have sex in the helicopter that's filled with diamonds.
Because, you know, wouldn't. That's what the normal people
that's
does.
Normal. Because yeah. that wouldn't hurt.
Exactly.
No, you're James God. Bond and Halle Berry.
I feel yeah. like that's like hashtag life goals right now. Yeah. I have not seen this movie, but take note. Yeah. You can find a helicopter full
okay,
of diamonds.
Okay, guys, I'm going to open that Patreon account. You put a lot of money so I can fulfill my wife's yeah. dream.
But I want to hear back about this swimsuit. Again.
Yes. So it was one of those moments where I wasn't sure if I wanted to be her or if I wanted her, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, those totally. Were going to be some of my both. Follow-up questions.
Yeah, so it was a lot of like a, oh my God, like her body's incredible, but at the same time it was like, wow, I am very attracted to this. Yeah. Like, I want to watch that scene over and over, but I was in a movie theater, so.
And no phones at
and
that
no
point.
Phones. Yeah, yeah, it was, yeah. cusp of the internet kind
right.
of days.
Crappy cameras, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Question. It will be this, like, if the lighting was crappy, it will still be attracted to you, or?
Probably.
It was more about, you know, the figure.
Halle Berry overcomes bad lighting.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. She overcomes
a lot of
things.
She's still got a rockin' bod, no matter what. Well, like,
you've seen her? Like, she's like, she looks super young. It's like
yeah,
almost 60.
She's
like,
cut.
It's almost great. The same as Denzel. Well, Denzel started aging a little
yeah.
bit, but he looks like still.
I mean, yeah.
Jeans, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Do you have more questions for Sydney?
Well, no, that was one of
oh,
my big ones for Sydney was, you know, were you more admiring her or was it like you
yeah.
felt that attracted, like that attraction, like, what do I do with this feeling?
Yeah.
How do I address this?
Yeah, it was, I didn't initially
yeah.
link it to like.
Right.
Because. I grew up Catholic, and there was a lot of, like, heteronormativism where it was, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Raise your hands who was raised Catholic.
Raise your hand if you're Catholic.
It was just the three of us who were like, yep.
Yep. Raise your hand if you live in sin.
I would like to note that the three main weekly podcasters
yeah.
are our Catholics here in the
yes.
house. So I think
yeah.
there's a little something to explore there.
Putting
small.
The licking Catholic.
Yeah.
1994.
I don't think that much based on our content. Alright, so Halle Berry.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have an interesting, like...
But wait, though, it gets
oh.
better.
Uh-oh. Sorry, go
I
ahead.
I think there might be a link to spy motif for me, because my next crush was an animated TV series called Totally Spies.
Oh.
And it was sort of a Powerpuff Girl setup where there was a redhead, a brunette, and then a blonde. And... like, they were all feisty and, like, could take care of themselves, whatever, and, like, beat up bad guys.
Did you have a favorite?
Yes.
Oh.
Of course.
Which one?
So.
And why?
I like the redhead, but I wish she had the brunette's haircut. Mm. So it was a little bit of both. The brunette was like, yeah, the brunette was like really tan, and I was like, ooh, she's cute. And the blonde one was super like pink, blonde Barbie kind of 90210 yeah. style. So I was kind of disappointed with that, but she was still cute, so.
Sweet.
But yeah, so. And then Kim Possible was a show that was relevant yeah, when I was a kid.
They're making a movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Badass redhead.
They're making a movie, right?
Are they?
I think
they
so.
You should have seen her perk up just there. Mm. Sydney's like, I am going to be Googling this later.
Guess what? Yeah. No.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about women in spy movies /TV shows.
That did it for you.
Yes, yeah.
Dang.
And may or may not show their midriff on several occasions.
Again, if you want to impress Sydney.
Yeah. Show orange me your
creamsicle, bathing suits, utility belts, midriffs.
Yeah.
Do you love Atomic Blonde? What you thought about that? Because
I did not see Atomic Blonde.
Okay, I'm not going to spoil it, but I think you will like that a lot.
Scarlett Johansson, right? No blonde wig.
No, Charlize Theron.
Yeah, there, see, there you go.
I like her with the shaved head in Mad Max. Yeah,
yep, awesome. She was badass.
Furiosa.
For
the
yes.
one arm.
I wouldn't mind that arm at all.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah. Well, let's keep
about,
moving before.
Wait, what about you? What about you from like?
He's so, got a big notes page here.
Yeah, I have a lot of stuff. But
flipping through the notes.
Jesus.
No, the first one was like Water for Chocolate. If I'm not wrong, I was like 7. Parents, if you're hearing this, like, don't let your kids watch a movie at 7 for sure. It will probably end up like me, and that's not good for a kid. So I was 7, and it was like, it's not a lot of sex scene in that movie. There are a few, you can see a few body parts, which is exciting, right? You're watching, like, mostly it was, like, the biggest deal down there in Mexico at the time for a Cadillac.
Yeah.
So based on that, yeah, it was a big deal. So it was weird because you're watching all, like, these sex scenes, but then at the same time you're checking the drama. So basically it's a couple that fell in love, but based on the Mexican tradition down there, the youngest one, her destiny is to take care of the parent when it's old. That's his only purpose. Based on the movie, it's not like a real thing. Maybe yeah. in some town in Mexico still exists. Well, actually there's an interesting story, but I'm going to keep for later. That's the problem. They can't get married, and all the mom offers is like, married my middle daughter. So like, I'm gonna do it, and like tell, like, I'm doing this because I love you, so I can be close to you, but I don't love your sister. But still, they fuck. So that was all that interaction in the middle. Like, you can tell, like, it's going more deeper than just like seeing two persons having sex. Like, but still, my brain couldn't register. I mean, I was 7. I was just like, oh, yeah, boobs, great. That was there.
But it was enough to leave an imprint, though.
Yeah, like, I know it was something else was going on there. Like, all these triangle love thing.
Dang.
And I thought it was interesting, even at the 7.
Beyond just boobs.
I started, like, with boobs, and then, like, huh. So, this is kind of like real life. People have these problems. Yes.
It makes it better.
Yeah.
Love triangles.
But no, that was my first kind of like sexual movie. Not precisely my awakening, but yeah. I mean, definitely.
Yeah,
and the impression was a big 7, for sure. That I remember that. I just remember in general it was a big deal down in Mexico. Everybody was talking about this movie. Oh my god, and it's cheating and like all this. You know, they're cheating.
Gossiping about this movie?
Yeah, pretty Dang. Much. It was almost like a well, like, I would watch novellas if they were this good. Like, the drama and the acting was this good.
It's chocolate for water?
Yeah, like water for chocolate.
Water for chocolate, excuse me.
Yeah, the only weird part was at the ending where she makes the wedding cake and then she put all her passion, and I think they suggested like what happened, people start getting horny when they were eating, finished the cake, because there was all her passion.
She's like, my secret was just dumping up a bunch of ecstasy in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Like, that just
cocaine.
Laced it with MDMA, and everyone wanted to just touch each other's hair.
Yeah. That was one of the first ones. The other one that I thought it was super interesting is Last Tango in Paris. Anybody watch it?
What is it?
Last Tango in Paris with Marlon Brando and Maria Schneider?
Yeah.
It was really interesting, especially I think it was a movie ahead of its time for feminism. Because basically, so this old man, Marlon Brando, looks old at that point, start dating this young girl, and they start having these secret meetings in places like apartments and stuff, have sex, plus sex. Well shot, though. I love the lighting and the framing of that movie. But then at the end, the girl is like, I'm done. I have my fun with you. Do whatever you want. At the end, the girl kills the guy because the guy can stop thinking about her. Like, he's...
That solves the problem.
Like, stalkerish or what?
Yeah, start getting kind of stalkerish.
Oh, okay.
But it's kind of great because this movie, I think it came, if I'm not wrong, 70s? Mm-hmm. So the fact that they put, like, the girl take the man role at that time, you know, as a, I cheat, like, I play with you.
Yeah.
And then Marlon Brando, which at the time also was the biggest, like, star male, like, erotic.
Man.
And he's the one that's like, no, get out of here. Like, I'm done with you.
He caught feelings.
Yeah.
But, like, the movie's excellent. It's by, Bernardo Bertolucci, would sadly die, passed away like a couple months ago. But all his movies are kind of like that. Like he directed The Last Emperor, which is another good movie. It's kind of boring, but it's good. And then has another ones, but it's always around this dynamic with couples and dealing with like going far away from just the sex part. So I think a lot of people focus on the sex part, but then that's done and what you do after, like how you related to that other person beyond having that immediate pleasure. That's what I like of his movies. And again, it's, they're really well lit, composed. So that's plus. So, yeah.
Dang. Good first steps. Good first steps.
So you guys keep going, something comes... So I mean, I have a big list.
I know, you guys can't
basic,
see this. Because, like,
basic instinct.
So yeah, I'm glad you hit on basic instinct because
cross.
That's Sharon Stone, and that's the giant beaver star. Yeah,
Michael Douglas.
Yeah,
she would get tricked though.
She did.
Like I heard a few interviews where they said they wouldn't do that. It was almost like I think like she was uncomfortable and she move her legs and it was caught and they decided to use it. It wasn't meant to be in the movie. Anyways,
well,
still
it became one of the most like iconic scenes.
Stop.
Oh, yeah.
Basically.
For that. So I mean, I don't know. I guess like I don't think it was a like was it ever talked about in your home, Caroline? Not at all.
It
like,
was
that
a
wasn't...
big deal.
No.
I remember my parents talking about it.
Probably you're too young to remember then. Yeah.
Right. Do you remember your folks, Nicole? Oh, man.
So like, they're having a conversation at the table?
No, so she's in. No, she's in. Oh, yeah.
It became a news thing. Yeah, it was.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. Just the whole, like, thing of the, about the movie.
Yeah, because it was like, I don't... I think... For my parents, yeah, it was, like, in the newspaper and it was on TV and stuff, like, where people were talking about it, like, they weren't expecting this and it was, like, this big uproar thing and people... There was a camp that said it was, like, integral to the story and, like, it brought that tension up and then there was other people that thought it was, like, really gratuitous for, like, a rated R film to just show that. Just a woman, like, uncrossing her legs. You get a full spread shot.
Thing,
and then her recrossing her legs. And it's hyper-sexualized, like, through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so it's...
Even the whole scene is pretty... weird because she's being interrogated but like what I take that is like these guys just like the whole focus on her and she's like has an overhead light there's just like this harsh light but she looks gorgeous.
She looks in control of the entire thing and so it was this weird...
even some the guys start sweating at some point it's so sexualized for sure.
I guess you have to think about it in context like I'm forgetting that at that time I got reminded about the mic. I'm forgetting that at that time you saw movies in theaters. This wasn't like you were renting it. It's like you went out for date night. You weren't expecting it.
So it was usually like this outcry of people who were like, I wasn't expecting this. Remember, you would have to like look as like the tiny fine print in the newspapers to why that movie's rated R.
Right.
And if you saw graphic nudity in there, you would know. But most people wouldn't know to look for
it. They would think it was like breasts, too.
Yeah.
Because that's what had been done before.
Right. So it was like one of the first big times something like that had been put, you know, on a giant... couple hundred foot screen.
So what did your parents say about it?
I think they were talking about, you know, whether or not it was appropriate, and I think it was because they were going to go see it. Like, it was like a date night for them, and then they just ended up, like, not seeing it, and then my dad was saying, like, all the guys at his work had seen it, and they had, like, pre-warned him about
probably
it.
Probably that was your dad's cues. Honey, all the guys said...
Well, right, but yeah, my mom is, like, so, like, not about that at all.
Prude.
She's just, like, a pretty hardcore feminist, right?
It's more like, you know, like, that's... That, how does that make me feel? And so she was always against that stuff for, like, all of us, like, especially if you have, like, a significant other, how's that going to make them feel?
So she was like a second wave feminist.
Yeah. And so for her, I mean, even something like Titanic, which I was going to bring up, which was the first time that I had to, like, I got the privilege of seeing on the big screen, but my parents had no idea that was in there. They knew that there was a sex scene, but they didn't know that there was a full bore. Like, draw me like one of your French girl scenes. And my mom came tearing down the aisle to go cover our eyes.
So you were seated separately?
Yeah, because this was at the time, like, when it was, like, the four of us thought it was cool to sit in, like, the front row of the theater. And it was a packed theater, because that movie just raked in money. And so her and my dad sat in the back. We sat up as close as we could. And the second she, like, derode, I heard, close your eyes. As she's, like, booking it down the aisle. And I'm like, what? And then she's, like, trying to cover our faces. Like, all three of the boys. And, like, it was... That I remember. And I'm like, I cannot wait to get this movie on VHS.
Yeah.
On DVD, nice. But, yeah, like... Those kind of movies, I mean, I remember. That Basic Instinct, you need to watch it to understand that whole scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
Does anybody else have any other ones?
I can keep going with the list.
All right, go ahead, Sydney.
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
Those words mean a lot to some people out there.
No, we're not making fun. Actually, I find that it's interesting that they make a whole allegory, almost like they dressed up and like they go on these functions and they just having the fun of their time. You know? I'm pretty sure it has. I watched it one time. I think there has something to do with that.
It's a cult classic. The following behind it is strange and vulgar and random and rather immature, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But it is a ton of fun. I found out about it when I was 13 in high school. I stuck out with my theater friends to go see it. And we went on the second Friday of the month, which happens to be lingerie night.
Oh, oh my gosh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That
means before the show even starts, people disrobe and reveal their outfit for the night, and whoever works it hard enough and in the front of the theater gets a prize from the local sex shop.
Seems.
And you guys are all in regular clothes, right? Because you didn't know.
I was. The rest of my friends all knew what was happening. I was the black sheep. I had no idea. But
tell me that you
loved it. I was like, holy shit, there's people like me.
Right.
What? So I had no idea what the movie was about. I thought it was about vampires for the longest time, actually. It's actually about aliens. Not too far off, though. But yeah, it was the first time I had been in an environment where people were just cussing at a screen and just like, just being completely vulgar and just unabashed about it. And it was like liberating. It was so fantastic. I had no idea that like movies like that existed. I knew that porn existed. But like, this was like
that's not acceptable.
Yeah, this was like not porn, but it was close. And I was like, what is this? And there's like, everyone's just hooking up with everyone in the movie and in the theater. Shout out to the back row. But, but yeah, so it was definitely like my sexual renaissance of sorts.
Especially at 13, I think that's kind of like the age where everybody started like you know, okay, this is different.
It was perfect timing.
I like that breakdown. You all have a sexual awakening, and then there's a sexual renaissance, which is where you really start to at least pin down some of your, like, I have a type. I do. I have things that I like.
I'm
Tim Curry in lipstick and heels, apparently. And Susan Sarandon.
Yeah, I'm waiting for 40s. It's like the third wave.
Yeah. It's the swan song.
The greasy strangler.
Oh, no. There it is. Your greasy strangler reference for the episode.
You have to watch it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's official. Like... This
I need to finish and you need to watch it.
I'll just watch it on the VR headset.
Oh.
There's no getting away from it.
No, that's a bad idea.
Yeah, that's too immersive. Too immersive. You don't want that.
Go ahead.
I have one other one. So you have to picture the context here. I have to find when this...
Don't try to excuse yourself.
No. But it makes it more interesting. Okay. So really conservative Christian in high school and college, as was my best friend. And somehow we were in this group of people who watched Closer. So it's Natalie Portman and Jude Law. And they're basically like swapping partners. They end up with the other... I don't remember that much. But there's like this long, extended strip scene with Natalie Portman. And she's like... a stripper, but it's like in a private room, and I remember finding it really sexy, but I'm watching it with my best friend and like, this is super awkward and I wish I was watching this without you.
Yeah.
So it was like this awkwardness of like, I'm turned on, but like, I don't want to be turned on watching the show with my friend.
Yeah.
So that was kind of renaissance-y, like, because there was a little bit of like repressed sexuality at that time.
Layers suddenly.
Yeah, and it's a long, like, it just kept going. Because again, what you're accustomed to is like there's this fleeting sex scene.
Like it'll just like be like flashing. A flash on a screen. Like it lasts for maybe 40 seconds and then the scene moves to the next day or the evening.
Right, but because it wasn't sex, it was just like this long drawn
sexual
out
sexual tension thing.
And
energy,
I remember being like, I'm going to watch this again when I'm not with my when I'm not with my friends.
I like your planning.
This is for my alone time.
Okay. Noted.
Which, and it was in college, so there wasn't any alone time, right? Because you have roommates, and so I remember, and it's not like where you would go back and watch it online. I just remember, like, mental note, need to watch this later.
Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because for me, I feel like in terms of feeling, all of a sudden you're like, oh, this shouldn't be, but it is, and I don't know what to do about it. Chicago, for me, was that. Oh. Like, all those strong women, and, like, they're, like, being violent, I'm sitting there, like, I have so many feelings. Should I have these? I don't care.
Yeah. I just kept watching. Why you like Chicago?
It's hot, yeah.
Oh my
and
God.
I've never seen it, you so now it? I need to see it.
Oh, it's so good.
I am stunned here. Like, I mean, she always, like... Like, you never verbalize like that. Like, I just thought it was the music.
Well, now you...
Now I know. Now I need to rewatch Chicago.
You sit on your advantage, Chris, now.
I'm going to.
Even, like, Queen Latifah, she's just, like, going for it. She's like, give to Mama. I'm like, okay.
She's kind of sexy.
Yeah. More.
She's definitely sexy.
And Catherine Zeta-Jones. Like, there's just so much goodness. I mean, come on.
I can't deal with the movie, though. This is the musical, right? I hate musicals.
I feel like it's done well. It's not.
But it's done well.
He's not able to like discriminate between subdivisions of musicals.
Okay. No, okay.
To him, it's like there's music in it. It's off.
Oh, there's not.
So it's like it's kind of.
What about Bohemian Rhapsody?
It's not a musical. It's more like a documentary.
Across the Universe.
What about Walk the Line?
Ooh. Oh, God, I love Walk the Line.
I love that we're just, like, laying down on these
boards. He's like, screw you guys, this is episode 69.
No, stop talking about musicals.
It depends. It's more like the performance part.
I remember Phantom of the Opera was the first time I realized that was an abusive relationship. Hmm. Yeah, I was like, ooh, that's fucked up. But I'm still crying.
Wait, what was it? You was
Phantom
like,
of the Opera. Phantom,
What did it represent for you?
My mom had just, like, gone through her third divorce. And, like, so the idea that something is very wrong in a relationship was, like, definitely on the forefront of my mind. But then Phantom of the Opera came into my scope of reckoning. And suddenly I was like, oh, my God, that's incredibly messed up. Like, this isn't romantic at all.
But, no, see, and that, I was debating, I was talking to Caroline earlier yesterday about one of them that I thought about putting on here, but I mean, since you brought it up, like, I know for me, it's not just about, like, oh, this is when this happened, or I formed those ideas. I remember watching a film, it's called Original Sin, and it's with Antonio Banderas and Angelina Jolie. And it is a hyper-sexualized film, but I remember watching it, like, around high school. And, I mean, as a person, like, I'm a jealous person as it is anyway. And that movie's all about, like, oh, it's this great big love affair, but I got deep, and now I need to share my partner with all my, the people I'm in debt with. And, like, she just gets whored around. And I remember feeling, like, in such a way, like, this is so dysfunctional. Like, I feel sick to my stomach. Mm-hmm. I don't like feeling like this. Right. Like, I hate this. I would never want this to happen. And then there's even scenes, like, towards the end where he's just so mad at her for doing it or for liking it, and it was just a lot of weird feelings have happened. But it's at least when I solidified the area of, like, I'm like, I'm not a share. I don't want to ever share.
Wasn't like, share before, but now I know. Hug me for me.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not even like I had to, like, question it. Like, I always knew, but, like, having that, like, actually get thrown across there and be like, nope, do not like the headspace this puts me in. Yeah. So, I mean, I remember he, like, pins her up against the wall at one point, and he's, like, commanding her to, like, open her mouth, and he just, like, spits in her mouth, and he's, like commanding her to swallow it, and I'm like, no, what the hell is this crap? Yeah. So in my head.
Spitting in the mouth, God.
Oh. Yeah, like.
Why is that a thing?
And I had already been, and again, like Hugo, like, I had already been, like, privy to a lot of stuff with, like, our special channels, but seeing that, I was like, there's...
In a non-consensual
context. And like, that was a big, that was a big issue for me. So for me, I know that that definitely helped draw a line where I'm like, I'm not about that.
I'm not crushed, man.
Yeah, it does nothing for me. Yeah. Like,
See, but that's kind of, like, the cool part of these movies. Like, I hear, like, again, race cattle lick. a lot of time with these movies, like, my family were like, oh no, that's, like, from the devil, oh my gosh, no. And it's like, well, it's a safe space. Movies and all these kind of media, safe space to put those ideas and explore them without actually doing it, because, you know, it's wrong.
Except for a Serbian film, fuck that movie.
I mean, there's a lot of fucked up movies out there that you definitely don't need to go watch. But at least...
Please don't go watch Serbian film. Do not.
There you go. That's a real warning. Like, I believe it.
Yeah.
But no. Like, I mean, at least for you, let you explore that without...
Like, without actually doing it. Or being stuck in that situation. Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah.
Where it's like, oh no, Jesus Christ. This is just too much. It's a boob. Actually, that will be more concerning for some of my family. They actually saw boob than the whole... you know, premise of the movie.
I'd see that. Yeah, no. My God.
I'm talking about that. You ever watch Eyes Wide Shut?
Yeah.
The last Kubrick movie?
Tom
Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
I never saw it, but I remember about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the best Kubrick movie for sure, but it's interesting. It's like this couple, the wife, I think, is a lawyer, and find, like, this cult kind of secret orgy group.
Mm-hmm.
Then brings Tom Cruise with his husband and start exploring that part. It's interesting.
There's a lot of those, like, you know, she was already cheating on him beforehand, and then, like, explode.
But,
like,
he gets attracted to that idea that he got cheat.
Yeah, like
the cuckolding thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So again, it, like, Caroline, she's like, that word.
You cuckolded me.
Yeah, but again, that was definitely, like, a big first introduction to, like, that stuff where it's just like, I hate this entire premise.
But you know, that's, like, the opposite idea of the other movie that you watch. In this case, Tom Cruise character
got brought into
actually, like, oh, I kind of like this shit.
Yeah.
But that was a weird one, I remember, especially with the scene with the mask and all the group around.
I mean, it's, like, got some iconic shots in there and, like, set pieces and stuff. But
it's suffocating.
Claustrophobic,
For sure. Well made.
I need to look up stills from this movie, because I feel like I've seen a portion of it, but, like,
I just remember walking in one time. Yeah. I don't know where I was or what was happening, but there was a screen, and on the screen was just a freaking room of people, and they were all naked. Just like...
No, that's it. Yeah.
It's got this, like, orangey-red lighting. Yes. And it, yeah, okay.
Has, like, these, like, curtains, kind of burgundy color.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was Interview with the Vampire for the longest time.
That scene kind of looks...
So kind of like that, but then all of a sudden they all disrobe.
Yeah.
It was really weird. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Why are they wearing robes?
Because it's a cult. Like
it's a cult.
Because it's for easy access.
Wow. Yeah,
and remember, Nicole, they are wearing masks, so you don't know who you're actually getting it on with.
Okay, so it keeps your anonymity. Okay, yeah. This is so nerdy, but like I've read a lot of like early British literature, Celtic times, where they would have like a festival.
Yeah.
And that was like how I think it was Beltane or something, and it was maybe summer solstice. Mm-hmm. But they would just like have sex with whoever.
Let's get it on.
Even if they had partners,
get out.
It was just like whoever was your partner for the night.
Yeah.
That's it. It's all for the traditions, right? We're doing it.
Did it for the lulz.
That's like every Saturday in Hillcrest.
Brought to you by Sydney.
There you go. I want to throw another one, which is this like a Mexican movie. Talking about Roma, which I watched last week. By the way, people, make your favor and go and watch it. I rewatch it without the VR now. It's like, it's a fucking poem for filmmaking. So go and watch it. Same director, Tu Mamá También. I don't know if you ever heard about that one.
Oh, yeah, from you.
Before
He's
me.
He's educating you.
Before me. Now, it was a big deal back in the day because the last scene is, like, really... Yeah, you don't see it coming. Mm-mm. Well, depending who you are, maybe you see it coming. I wasn't ready.
But you didn't see it coming.
I wasn't ready. I was, like, 14, if I'm not wrong.
Can I tell my aside about Tu Mamá También or after?
Well, just let me...
Do your idea first.
So, just, I'm going to spoil it, but fuck you, because it's been a long time since it came out, so you should have watched it already. This is the two hottest Mexican actors, I guess. Everybody gets like, Gael and Diego. One more Gael than Diego.
Wait, they're both in Roma? Or are we still talking
about No, we're talking to Roma.
Okay, gotcha.
So, the last scene is these girls, they fall in love, that they do a road trip. It's giving a blowjob and these guys kiss each other. So, you know, being Catholic in a really conservative family, and at 14, kind of like, that was kind of like, what I'm watching exactly right now? It's pretty explicit.
It frames the entire movie if you were to watch it again, as now you're looking for subtle hints of the bisexuality.
If I think about the whole movie in my head, thinking about that last scene, like, okay, I can see, like, I shouldn't be, well, I shouldn't. I was too young and not experienced. But now, like, yeah, they have sense that they finish like that.
Yeah.
Like, the whole idea of the movie kind of, like, click.
Right, and I think that's the purpose of...
Yeah. No, for sure.
It's like with Neon Demon.
Well, I love that you brought it up.
The redhead girl... Throughout the film, she's like really gushing over Jesse, and she's like, "I think you're just great." And then like she approaches her in the third act in a sexual way, and gets rejected pretty hard, like thrown from from her perch. but yeah, like rewatching the movie, it was like, "Oh, this is super obvious that she has a thing for Jesse."
Yeah.
Whereas the first time around, I kind of went over my head. I was like, well, she's just a super friendly person from LA, I guess.
I mean, there's a lot of shit going on in that movie to focus on that.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but what was the Roma thing?
Roma is the last Cuarón movie, which is... And you get surprised that he's the director of Little Princess. I don't know if you ever...
Yeah, I was super surprised. Like, Jackie watched that movie all the time.
He directed the third Harry Potter movie.
Which...
Azkaban Prisoner or whatever.
The Prisoner of Azkaban.
I love that one.
Right. He's the guy that really pushed to move away from a lot of the more traditional things that Christopher Columbus had done in the first two.
Yeah.
It was a more darker tone, which they just ran with.
And they put them in regular clothes for sometimes.
He's like, I remember reading that article. He was like, listen, if you have any kid or you've been a kid in a school with uniforms, all those kids, the first thing they will try to do is take them off or get out of them as soon as they can.
Yeah.
What else? He did Gravity too.
But what was like the sexual part of this Roma thing?
So Roma, you already watched it?
No.
Okay.
Nicole, bringing it back.
Sorry. Yeah, we need more people. No. And so Roma, there's. I mean, the premise of the movie is dedicated to his. Well, it's called Nana, but it was like the I forget again the word for people that cleaned houses.
Nanny, housekeeper.
The housekeeper, base maid. Yeah, she was the maid, but. So it's this like weird interaction that I don't think happened in the Mexican families anymore, where these people like they will get so deep because they will stay and sleep there, mm-hmm. take care of the kids, and probably they spend more time with the kids than the actual parents. Mm-hmm. So it's dedicated to her, but it's an indigenous woman, and like that's even more like conservative. Even like they don't talk about sex at all, like mm-hmm. these things. So there's one sex scene, but he's with this guy Matt. And she gets pregnant, and but she's like, well, what do I do now? Like, nobody talked to me about any of this at all. So she's so naive, and so like, oh, I'm throwing up. Oh, why am I not bleeding anymore? Yeah. So stuff like that. So that's one of, like, the sexual part. This guy has sex with her, mm-hmm. and she don't know. Like, she's even, like, just in the bed like this. So what do I do now? You know? Mm-hmm. She don't know. What's the deal?
Dang. So, but like, what was your connection to this, or?
Oh no, that he's just the director.
I know. I think he's just bringing it up that it was just a nice like viewpoint. It was a unique viewpoint on just sexuality in general from film.
If I want to connect it with Roma, I need to Mama también. Is the same topic of.
I didn't think about it that way.
Conservative, you know, I'm coming from a conservative country. Still, even today, there's a lot of issues with related to that. A lot of women that get pregnant because they don't talk to them.
Right.
So, you know, even but there's two different angles. And this, Itu Mamá también, is like these guys, they explore their sexuality as, you know, man, like, for at that time, for a lot, like if my dad saw that, like, what the fuck, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like the biggest, you know?
Well, but even in the U.S., because that wasn't really shown like, in the U.S. at that
time. I remember it being pushed because they were like, it's winning awards, people like critics love it. Mm-hmm. But I remember, like, even my parents, like, paid it no mind. They did mm-hmm. not, it wasn't even, I remember I was able to read it because I could read Spanish, no problem.
I think it was. It's explicit. The scene is explicit, for sure. Not like you see. Yeah, you see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So for me, that movie came out at that same time, like when I was in college. Mm-hmm. And I remember I watched several at that time with Gael Garcia Bernal, which was funny because I hadn't. Maybe I had just gone to Mexico. I went to Mexico on like an exchange. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was. What was interesting about that is the female lead is like very in control of the sexuality of the group because she's basically like she's taking older. Turns
between
having
the guys,
sex with both of them.
She played with them, like making anger, like, oh yeah, I fuck your friend now, but like. Then she will go with the other one.
But it was interesting because that was a nuance that was different too. Like there weren't a lot of movies at that time where the woman mm-hmm. was like in control of mm-hmm. the sexuality of the situation. Mm-hmm. So I remember like that blowing my mind too. Like, wow, this, you know, a woman can like have some autonomy over
what's happening.
Yeah. And it's not like she's really like playing them. It's more like, you know, let's explore. Like, you're so attached to these traditions, like, you don't even know what the fuck you're talking about, so let's explore. Let me show you what's about having sex and fall in love and have treated like somebody betray you in a way. So there's a lot of these topics. Mm-hmm. That's the reason this movie is so good.
It is really
on that,
good.
You know, sexual awakening, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, because the other one I have is Nymphomaniac, and that one is like...
Jesus, man. Wow, that's a big jump.
Like a big jump to the other side of the spectrum.
I mean...
Do you guys watch at all?
No.
I know about it.
Movie.
Yeah. I've seen a review on it.
And it's two movies. It's Break, Volume 1, Volume 2.
Is it Shia LaBeouf?
4 hours total.
Shia LaBeouf is there. There's a lot. It surprised me. It's a...
Like, it is...
Well-known cast.
Graphic.
Yeah. Isn't
Willem
Dafoe in it too?
Yeah, Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
Willem
Dafriend, Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, I think Shia LaBeouf actually sent tapes of his audition actually having sex.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like real sex.
He's a method actor.
Well, I don't know if he need to, like, actually have sex.
No. It's...
But his last one, 3 years, so his movies are actually always controversial. But, I mean, the premise basically is that we're...
It's not Gaspar Noé. It's Lars von Trier.
Antichrist?
The Gatsby movie. No.
Maybe I'm getting confused.
That's Baz Luhrmann. I'm sorry. Yeah. Don't listen to my bullshit.
No, but, like, I'm bad with remembering names, so I was like...
No, I think you're right.
So, yeah, it's just, like, his whole thing for this movie was, like... He wanted to explore sex without the love part. Which I can see in a way that...
Kinda... Sociopath of the year, everybody.
Yeah. Just basically, at the end, says, like, we're a piece of shit, human beings. Like, we just think... Basically, it's like men thinks with dicks and...
You're telling me is it's a real feel-good movie. Like, a real uplifter.
It's not even like that, because...
I know. So clearly.
It's so clear.
Yeah, it's the exact opposite. It's like...
Yeah.
It's a super bummer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think any of you feel interested in watching.
No.
So, all I can say is this woman always nymphomaniac. You know? So did she tell, like, in the beginning she get beat up for a guy to want to have sex just because, oh, you're an nymphomaniac, that means I have all the right to fuck you without, you know, against your will.
Yeah.
These old men take her in her house, take care of her, and the woman start telling all these stories about, you know, so you're an nymphomaniac, so I imagined your life has been interesting, you know, tell all these stories. Then at the end, the guy, same thing. The guy, these old men, they listen to her and to try to take care of her. Like, oh, so you have all these experience in your life. They're like really fucked up stories. So I have the right, you know, do it.
So he tries to take advantage of her too?
Yeah, at the end, yeah.
Oh, God.
So, like I said, real feel-good movie. Like, this is a terrible premise.
No. It's pretty intense. I don't recommend to everybody. I normally am open mind to watch the stuff, but this one I was close to like I'm starting to feel uncomfortable.
And for it to be 4 hours.
Yeah, and like, I watched the 4 hours. And there are a few things there.
There were people that backed this film. Great. Like, yeah. They were like, I enjoy this idea.
No,
here's $1 million.
No, he didn't get backed up. I mean, he's basically financed by himself.
Oh my God.
Because nobody wants.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And I mean, he did Antichrist, which is also like really intense. So, unless you're like big fan of him and his work, I don't recommend it.
Sir, no.
Do you guys ever watch? Oh, go ahead. Do you guys?
I want to hear Caroline talk about Outlander.
Oh.
See, I was just trying to remind her, and so
it's
go
my
ahead.
Current obsession.
Sydney, have you watched Outlander?
I have not.
Okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's awesome.
It's based on a book.
I think just mainly for me, in terms of like how they depict the sexual experience, like it's very realistic. Like it's awkward. It can be weird. You don't know. You're adjusting. And then, but it's also, it's not so much from like a male gaze, like, let's just look at this body part or really idealize like this angle for the woman. It's really an all around, like, this is what it would be, like romantic wise and like love. And it's not always pretty or it's quick or longer, but it was a more realistic depiction and really, I think, encapsulate more like a female experience point of view.
Now, didn't you say too, like, it was most of those scenes and especially when it deals with that, like those episodes are written by females. Usually it's directed by a female.
Yeah. I mean, the series is written by a woman. Yeah. Yeah. I just appreciate that as well in terms of like making content. I'm like, oh, I can actually like relate to this. I don't feel so like it's for a certain audience. I'm like, no, it actually does feel like for me and like how I would experience it or how I'd like to. But it also deals with some really heavy stuff, which I don't want to give away because it's a fairly new series, but it gets heavy and like gritty, but you still can appreciate for what it's trying. It's encompassing and includes a lot of different issues, not just the pretty or idealistic, but the very horrible and traumatizing things people go through sexually. But it has a little bit of everything.
Nice.
You were there for some of my episodes.
I'll give my two bits, but like, Nicole, have you seen Outlander?
Yeah.
All right, so what's your view on it? As far as like, you know, in your range of things, like where did... What's your lens?
So I read the books first.
Right.
I would just reiterate everything that Caroline said, I mean, it's odd when you see, like, male parts in a show.
Oh, yeah. Well, they show dick?
They do.
Oh, they do.
That right? never so happens. See that.
Exactly.
No, no, you get what? To see.
It's, like, full frontal. Yeah.
Now, again, when okay. they meet, and this is what I was wishing, like, even you would talk more on. As Sydney's Googling it, she's like, dick, outlander. No. It's very...
I am Googling exactly that.
It's very equal.
Yeah.
Because it is done that way, it's like not just for the male gaze. Like, she wasn't kidding. Like, it's for whoever is going to enjoy this.
It's the human experience. Well, like,
they linger on those male ass shots or like those dick shots as long as they will linger on like breast shots or just like the entire lead up to sex sometimes was even more like sensually depicted. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so like, and I have.
Foreplay is important, everybody.
Yeah, for real.
Hashtag foreplay.
Do not invest
not
in
three
that.
Play, foreplay. Don't cheap yourself.
Five play is right out.
I have zero context in the actual show. And so when I walk in sometimes and I just see what's happening, I can't... Like, yeah, like, you think Game of Thrones is like, oh, look at all the breasts, look at all the floppy wieners. No, like, this thing is like... Somebody took a lot of time to craft this, but to make it so believable...
Yeah.
And the female characters, I think, in there take, like, a lot like Itumama Tambia, and they have so much power in the show, even though technically it's a period piece at times, when they shouldn't. Because, again, it's about, I guess, time travel and magic and such.
Yeah.
So that she can do this and can get this big, what is he, Scottish?
Yes.
This big Scotsman to like bend to her will or treat her as an equal at that time too is just
right. Like, she wouldn't be pushed around. She's like, I may be from a different time and I know it's different here, but I'm still not going to take that.
And there is just a ton of sexuality in that show.
So a recent one for me.
Let's go and watch it. Yeah. Dicks and
all together
boobs.
Now.
No, but like,
but hold on before because I had read the books. I knew it was going to be like that because it's on Stars, and Stars are the same people who did Spartacus.
Ooh, Spartacus.
So here you've read the books, you know the romance is coming, and then you find out it's going to be on Stars.
You got excited. Yes. Yes.
All going to be in there.
It's like, where is that company that makes Spartacus? It's like, well, Stars. Oh, they're going to make this book, and it's about, like, it's sexual and whatever. I'm like, see, they're so excited.
All right.
They're going to show the whole thing.
Well, I mean, knowing Nicole now, like, 7-year-old Nicole being disappointed when we didn't have, like, enough, like...
Like, show me the parts.
Show me the good.
Yeah. I want to know.
Yeah. Where's this junk? And then to, like, now get this, she's like, score.
Yeah, well, like, what Sydney said, like, it's not usual to see a...
To
penis
see that,
shot. So, yeah, the girls should have also the fun that we have to put it in a way, you know.
Fair game.
Okay,
fair
women
game.
Also, don't, unless you're, like, married or in a committed relationship, you also don't really see penises, like, when they're not erect.
Right.
So you're not, like, seeing... Yeah. I remember seeing, like, a flaccid penis and being like, what is that? Like, it just...
What's wrong with it?
That's I'm just gonna man, so I think there's
sad.
Like some curiosity.
That's so disappointing. Like, what is wrong with him? This is all like all the hype. This is
in Deadwood.
In Deadwood, oh my
just
god.
Just like a random flaccid penis. You're like, oh, so unkempt, bushy, so much floppy.
I was making something in the kitchen. I just hear her scream like, oh god. I'm like, what happened? Yeah. What'd the cat do? And she's like, oh, just penis. Penis on our giant screen.
Suddenly dicks. Yeah, exactly.
Flaccid penis, to be clear.
She's like, damn it, HBO, you didn't have my consent.
Yeah, it was just out there.
Yeah, but again, it's odd. It's strange because, you know, in the... You know, like the mind of the people in general is like they never.
I'll
besides
go ahead and
you
say
couple
it, like,
and stuff, but you know.
But again, that's all due a lot towards just male gaze.
No,
and
yeah,
the fact
sure.
that it's like who's behind the camera, it's usually the male eye, and it's just like, what do I want to focus on? Well, it ain't a dick. And they're gonna focus on, and so again, yeah, there's a reason why it's not constantly shown.
Hashtag show more penis.
Oh god, that's a terrible hashtag.
That's the worst hashtag.
You come up with a bunch of hashtags.
Well, that's really
I'm
worst.
Not gonna get behind that one.
No.
Alright.
Show more penis. It's just You're gonna have a lot. Never mind. Nope.
Yeah. No.
No. This is 69, and I'm still not gonna say that
the
joke.
The problem that Harvey Weinstein was just experiencing. So
I guess 70 episodes. We kind of learned to censor ourselves on time.
Have we though?
A little bit. Like at least we can reach.
I don't
point
feel
where...
like I've learned anything.
But again, so I guess Outlander then is a good progressive step forward then for you two.
Yeah. I appreciate, the lens that's being presented as, the just different subjects.
Because again, you're
dark
now both,
and light.
You're both in adulthood now.
Yeah.
And so to have that versus something that you saw when you were younger, would you say that this has more or less impact for both of you?
Ooh. All the spicy questions.
I think that's hard to say.
Because again, you're in a relationship clearly now, but I mean, like when you were a kid and you have those ideas, like when you were in college, like I need to watch this, you know, later. I've never really thought about this. Versus now, when you're in a relationship, you've experienced the whole spectrum of feelings or sexuality, so to speak. But then to see something like this, does it resonate with you on a larger scale or like less than when you were younger?
So I think it depends on how we talk about impact. So like more arousing, probably not because
it is
the mystery is, well, but the mystery is gone, right? I'm not like a 20-year-old version, you know?
Yeah.
But I think if you define impact as like how groundbreaking is it? Like there were not shows like that when we were young. Mm. You were never seeing like anything that a woman would be like interested in.
Yeah.
It just was all
male focus.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like it is more powerful. I like the examples that's being set forth, so I enjoy it in terms of it being something more realistic, more relatable. So I guess so. I guess it's more impactful. It'd be an ideal. It'd at least show, like I said, the varying degrees and matters of relationships and, like, you know, the highs and the lows, and it's not always pretty, but... And then, the traumatic versus the really good parts of a life experience. Beyond sexual, too.
I think it's going to become more common. I've seen some movies directed by women, and it's interesting because I watched a trailer and my, like, super conservative little... you know, dust that I have in my brain. It's like, I don't like that. Then, you know, after I rest and rewatch, it's like, yeah, I don't like that because it's going against all this stuff that has been telling us as males.
Yeah.
One of the movies is this girl, they kind of like get beat up and they throw it like in the desert to die. She wake up and it's like she comes back and take revenge and kill the guys. And this kind of stuff, I mean, it's not like it's exciting to see people killing other people. But it's refreshing to see that female view. Like, if you guys have these badass guys all the time, we can have badass girls too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's going to become more normal seeing that perspective, hopefully.
Yeah, it's like what I wish like 14, 15, 16-year-old girls would see.
Yeah.
So they would have an idea that like sex is for them too.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you should be enjoying this. You should be embracing it and taking your control versus I'm just here, part of experience, but it's not really mine to be like in control.
Yeah.
So, and to realize when something's not working.
Exactly. You know, be able to voice your opinion about it and it'd be okay.
That was more my experience up until like the 20-something.
Especially. Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of it was like, okay, I know how this is supposed to go, but this isn't, like, something's not clicking here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, yeah, realizing when something isn't a right situation where it's the lows or the highs, you know, and it's, like, focusing on how it makes you feel rather than it being, like, focused on him or whatever. You know? And having all that media influence and the heteronormativism of, like, oh, this is, okay, this is focused on...
She's trying. No, but I guess that gets into a deeper conversation of like the differences between movies' take on it versus like a TV show.
Yeah,
I guess with a TV show, you have that time to set that all up. Whereas a movie, you got maybe one or two sex scenes to set that up, and do you either want to set up some of those more realistic things, which nobody really paid to go see, or something that helps your characters become this ideal version of what you want them to be, unless you want to make your entire film based on sex. And then you can go through the highs and lows like Y Tu Mama Tambien. Right. But, you know, but
that's
then
not going to happen.
Right. So you come into those differences where with movies, it's a very idealistic view.
Yeah.
Versus TV shows, which can take their time in exploring, at least premium cable TV anyway.
Premium cable.
So, I want to talk about a movie called Kids. Do you watch Kids?
You're getting in some deep cuts, man.
No, I like... I mean,
remember people talking about it, but
was
I've
a
never
big
seen
buzz.
It.
So for me, the interesting part of this movie, coming back to like using media to communicate an issue or something like that, it's basically a group of kids. They're in New York and like they're wild, because that was the whole thing about the movie. But one of the kids, his goal was like, I'm gonna fuck as much girls, so I'm gonna have sex with as much girls as I can, not knowing that his formal girlfriend, or the girlfriend that left like pretty fast in the movie, she had HIV. So it's like this, you know, ignorance as a kid, like having the excitement of, you know, I want to explore sex, but not knowing exactly like what's going on.
Yeah.
Like not being responsible, I guess.
Yeah.
So he's just going this wild rampage, and he don't know.
Rosario Dawson.
Yeah. It was 95 or something.
Yeah, it's 1995. You got the year.
Oh wow, yeah. That's like the height of the AIDS stuff too. Mm-hmm. Like people still were trying to figure out what's going on with it.
But the buzz was like, oh yeah, it's a bad sex. I'm like, dumbass, can we watch it?
It's NC-17, so again, not anybody could have gone into that theater or seen that.
But it was pretty crazy at the time. Like, I remember Kids.
But again, when you look at the context behind it, I mean, it was probably not just to explore sex. It was to warn a lot of the younger audience. I mean, it's just unfortunate that it had to be rated NC-17, because everybody who really could have benefited from that was probably high school age to young adult.
I think it was directed to a specific, you know, demographic.
Demographic.
But it's great, you know, like, again, it's like... And I think the director did it on purpose. Like, so that population that I'm trying to put this movie on is not, they're not have access to this. So let's make it as much as medium, you know, buzz that we can through that.
How did you come across
sex.
This again?
Kids?
Yeah.
I think I watched it at some point. I have.
Yeah, but like, how did that roll out? What was the thought process on that one? Was that like a cousin that showed you? Was it just a random like Sunday morning like on
cousin Pablo? Woo. he's the guy that always bring all the weird stuff.
Oh my god! Yeah, so
I did not know this about you, Pablo.
Yeah, he will bring From Dusk Till Dawn. Or like,
I love that one.
I know, but he will
the scene with the python. Yeah,
he will bring all these like little like hidden gems right there that people will think like, this is weird,
like Planet Terror and stuff like that, with the chick with the machine gun for a leg.
So all these B movies,
there was this other one that was in the space, and these guys go to fight bugs in the space, and then they find this giant brain insect bug.
Oh, I was thinking Troopers.
Starship Troopers?
It was amazing.
Oh,
but
that
he
is a freaking brilliant movie.
He was the guy that will bring all that gold. Yeah.
I feel like people were talking about it because of older siblings, because I remember hearing about this movie when I went from private to public school, which I would have been 11, and it would have been, what was that, 95?
95.
This would have been, like, 96.
Yeah.
So it's like people were talking about it, and all I heard about it is, it has to do with a lot of sex. So it's like older siblings were watching it and people were talking.
So again,
about
I guess it did get its message across to the exact audience it was supposed to.
I think when they got that rating, like the people behind the production, it's like, okay, well then we're not gonna have, you know, a younger
audience. We're not gonna pull punches,
Let's push these
boundaries.
Sadly, you know, from that side, like let's make these buzz that's always associated with.
Also, there was very rarely films that were NC-17 at that time. So if you heard of something NC-17, it was like, oh my gosh, everyone wants to see it.
Yeah. Sometimes it's even caused more attention than even rated R.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's
that
extra.
Weird, yeah. That weird in the middle kind of thing. But yeah, I remember that one. It was about sex and sexual awakening, but they put this topic forefront.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
This is what I like when they make movies like that. They address an issue, but without making it boring. But being in your face, too.
Yeah. I was recently in West Hollywood, and I was walking down the street to a different club, and there was a van on the side, or like a bus on the side of the road that was doing free HIV testing. Mm-hmm. And it was like right there on the side. You could just walk in, they swab your cheek, and boom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I feel like movies like that really help to kind of spur that, like, know your status kind of movement.
Right.
And help people get resources to make sure they're tested.
Not everything is Avengers, people. Not everything.
So I'm curious about some of your adult movies. I feel like the rest of us have kind of talked about, you know.
Wait a minute, you need to readdress what adult movies mean.
Okay, sorry.
Because I have favorite porn stars, and then I have favorite cinematic movies.
So one of you guys used the phrase, like, sexual awakening versus sexual renaissance.
Yeah. Versus
that might have,
like,
even been you. So did you say one of your renaissance movies?
Yes, that was Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's when it became solidified. Okay. But then again, that's like when you're
okay, but you're still like 13 in that story.
That was 13, like, 18.
What's like?
What's you now? What's your go-to?
The Greasy Strangler. No. there was another one.
That's a good take.
I feel like at least we should make a projection at this point now of the Greasy Strangler.
Yeah, that should just be the...
I'm just going to Photoshop your head over the Greasy Strangler.
Yes!
I have to show Caroline what this looks like.
Yes, please. All of it. I had another sort of sexual renaissance moment when I was starting to come into my queer identity, and that was Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Oh, my God.
That and also Short Bus, written and directed by the same person as Hedwig and the Angry Inch. But it's kind of image, please.
Yeah.
Oh my
goodness! This is a Greasy Strangler. I want you to take that all in.
It's a guy who lathers himself in grease and then goes and strangles people.
Okay, he looks like what were those books, like the Scary Stories book?
Oh, Tales from the Crypt.
Yes.
No. From
like the Green Ribbon and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. There were three. There was an author, like Scary Stories, more Scary Stories to Chill Your Bones.
Huh. No.
And
yeah, I know exactly where.
And there were like drawings.
Yeah.
Like black and white drawings, and that like totally that. Looks like something. From
it wouldn't be weird if this person get inspiration for that, because it seems like it's pretty.
Yeah. Fine.
Oh my goodness.
You giggle. Yeah, it's I just love how extra it is, like the eyes pop out, you know, and it's goofy but like disgusting at the same time,
like a super dark comedy.
Yeah. Okay,
so now
which
we're...
is intended to be a comedy, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're bringing it back to Hedwig and
and the Angry Inch is about a Eastern European pop singer who gets a botched sex change to come over to the United States, and then promptly gets left by their GI boyfriend, and then has to figure out life in America as a transvestite, sort of. But yeah, it was originally a stage play, or no, was it
said Broadway?
Yeah, it was adapted for Broadway, either before or after the movie was made. But it was just the first time I really saw the idea of gender bending as more than just a stage thing. It's like, this was a real...
This was a life choice.
Yes. Or this is a life expression.
Yes.
That, like, that has serious consequences for some people, like, physically, if it goes wrong, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, the frustrations and the implications that come along with making those hard choices in life and just kind of having to roll with it and see where it takes you.
Now, Caroline, you said you've actually seen that one?
Yeah, Caitlin. Because I watched Rocky Horror Picture with her, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, like Clockwork Orange, all those like off-kilter that I would never see in my own household.
Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, Caitlin is one of Caroline's like childhood friends that like helped introduce her to a lot of films or things that
maybe
she should have seen.
Maybe we should bring it
seen.
To the show.
She's totally
have seen.
Like... Okay, so
like that her parents wouldn't have.
Yeah. No, we're talking. We're also talking porn. Yeah, this is a girl like she would, like, because Caroline was very innocent and, like, didn't want to see all that stuff. Caitlin would turn on porn on
Caitlin
every...
Caitlin was the informant.
Yeah, like, would turn it on every TV in the home and then, like, lock Caroline in a room so Caroline couldn't turn it on.
I literally ran outside trying to escape it, and she would have thought it was hilarious. And in hindsight, it was hilarious. But as a child where I was,
what the heck?
Yeah, so this is the person we were talking to last night. I was trying to pull information out of her to get, like, stuff out of Caroline. Like, what else did she see? What else
did she... introduce.
Yeah. Right.
Once I shit it down in a room full of porn, that was happy.
I love hearing that story from Caitlin. And if she's up for it, I'll have her on the show and she'll talk. She wants to talk more than anything.
That will be interesting. We don't, like,
I would like to meet
people.
This Caitlin person.
Oh, yes, yeah, she would absolutely have a field day. So she showed you the Angry Inch?
I had
an Angry
Inch, yes.
Oh my god, how old were you?
It's like
No, I don't have the... Yeah. Chronological.
It's like the
in version
teens, of my, like,
definitely
my cousin.
20s.
Definitely teens.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like the equivalent of my cousin Pablo kind of thing.
Yeah, Caitlin
and
is
she
Pablo.
She was my cousin Pablo.
Yeah, I think we all have
stupid.
This person.
Yeah.
Like, I have this person in my life.
But we should have, we're making officially, we should have, everybody should have a
cousin Pablo?
Cousin Pablo in their life.
Yeah. I mean,
actually, it was remembering a movie that kind of is one of the few. I mean, Nymphomaniac was shocking, but Requiem of a Dream has also a few shocking scenes, especially by the end.
Yeah.
You know, if
you
haven't seen.
No, I've seen Requiem for a Dream.
Like ass to ass. Sorry, but that's a line in the.
Yep.
And that's
one of the last lines in the movie.
Yeah, but it was. it was shocking. I don't recommend it to watch it if you're too sensitive.
Do you two have a cousin Pablo figure?
I was my own cousin Pablo.
Google image search was my cousin Pablo.
Yeah, at that point, like, once the internet hit, you didn't really need a cousin Pablo. You could just do it.
True.
But I mean, for me, it was like I had all those channels, so it was kind of like it was a crash course in second grade, third grade to like see all this hardcore stuff and like my tiny brain piecing it together, going like, oh look at well, that goes there, and it also goes there. And these people are playing just fine too. Like I was putting it together, so having all those ideas, like, it was fine. But I mean, it's the PG-13 and rated R movies where it was more violence and stuff. That's where I needed a cousin Pablo. But my mom was so on lockdown with that stuff, like, you just couldn't get it past her. Which is why during my teen years, my sexual, like, renaissance came from, like, anime and, like, having all the, because again, it's cartoons on the front, so again, it can sneak by most parents.
Octopus arms and
throats. My god, dude, why?
Tentacle porn. Yeah. It's about time.
We took that weird turn.
It wasn't in Star Wars. There was a scene.
There was
where
a tentacle,
was like a
yeah.
Tentacle
the trash compactor. So,
there you go,
you
have the scene, finally.
1970s. So, so anime was like at least that renaissance for me of like.
Do you have a crush with any anime?
Did you have a waifu?
There you go.
That I don't appreciate that hearty laugh, Caroline.
From your real waifu?
Right.
Just go waifu. Yes.
From now on, you call me a waifu.
Yeah. I am waifu.
I'm sorry.
I want to say, like, one of my earliest incarnations of it probably would have been, like, Sailor Jupiter. From, like, Sailor Moon.
Sailor Moon, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Sailor Jupiter, she...
I remember, like, that transition...
Yeah.
Oh, they're naked. You didn't see anything.
But they were behind the glitter, and you just hope that one day one of them artists forgot to put that glitter. But probably Sailor Jupiter was probably...
Jupiter?
That, yeah. She was the green brunette. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like an interesting choice.
Way bustier than all the rest.
Yeah, for sure. No, but like everybody...
I liked her too because she wasn't like girly.
I'm not judging your choice. I'm just saying interesting because... at least for me at the time, everybody wants to go with the blondie.
So I was trying to just find like a picture of Sailor Jupiter, and instead I found this.
What
like some special outfit. So I just
wanted to draw her attention to that. Crotchless panties.
It's like, it's not happening.
#, my birthday is very soon.
Like, isn't that happening?
#, Amazon overnight.
Yeah, overnight. Yeah.
See, that's a #, I can get behind, Hugo.
#, Amazon overnight. Okay, I am absolutely for it.
Okay, I'm not going to repeat it. I get the message.
Thank you.
But I mean, at least just like anime in general. I mean, and then So at least for having like stronger female characters that weren't always
talking about anime.
Yeah.
No, finish your.
No, no, just saying that they weren't just like just pieces. Usually, I was always attracted to one of them that was like, it's not the damsel in distress, but somebody who was like on par with like whoever the protagonist was, or she was a protagonist. Like that was way more attractive to me.
Bye, chicks.
Hey, look, the Venn diagram over there. Yeah. But no, but like for me, like it just was always really annoying whenever like the female character would only be just a plot motive. And so, like, I just never really would be attracted to, or would be, like, a doormat, and would just do whatever the protagonist wanted. Like, it was such a turn-off for me.
Whoa.
Right, so again, but that was, like, the renaissance for me. Like, yeah. I'm like, I think I really want, like, a stronger, like, female in my life.
You found your type.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Remember, bringing it up again, my Uncle Pablo.
Yeah, your cousin Pablo?
Not my cousin, yeah.
You have an Uncle Pablo, too? Nah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have an Aunt Simone and a Sister Simone.
He will bring, that's the first Street Fighter movie anime. Oh, there's a scene for, see, I told you, like, he will find all these jewels. He find, for some reason, the version that was not censored. And there was a scene with Chun-Li and Vega fight each other, and she's fighting all naked, super badass. That was super turn on.
Completely naked.
Kicking ass with the other guy.
No, hold on. Like, naked, or like,
no,
like
naked.
Anime naked, which is where, like, there's always something conveniently there, like, in front of it.
Naked. This is a full, like, scene full where she's
so. Is this, like, a, like, legit Street Fighter endorsed thing? Is this somebody's, like, crude movie?
Sounds like a smart film.
Yeah.
No, it was, like, the first anime when Street Fighter was on the top. It's, like, the animated movie. And there's a scene where she's taking a shower, and you see her whole body, obviously in cartoon, but pretty detailed. Because animes, they do a great job doing that. Clearly. But no, she's fighting naked.
Oh my goodness.
At some point, she put like a really convenient, it was like a long shirt on the side, and then she put it like, why you put it on? You're already half of the fight. What's the point?
I was so disappointed. Like, she may be modest.
It's more comfortable to fight in a big.
Makes me more aerodynamic.
Yeah, but I remember that, like, ooh. Something is tingling. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, but I would have been remiss if I didn't at least bring up some sort of, like, anime. For me, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anime is pretty cool.
I mean, there's some weird stuff on Japanese anime with certain topics.
But then again, I mean, Japanese, like, as a general whole, sexual, like, their mentality on it is way different. But again, that could be a whole podcast in and of itself. Yeah. Media in Japan and, like, their viewpoints on
like,
things.
Like, kids' penises and cartoons are okay to show it, but adult, like, they somehow blur it or something.
Well, the sexuality of it, yeah.
It's just get pixelation. Things like that. But anyways. Do you remember seeing Striptease? Because that was another one that was, like, big deal.
Is that...
And when I watched it, it was so disappointing.
Demi Moore. Yeah, where she's got, like, on bolt-on breasts. Yeah.
And I was like, that's it? Like, yeah. It's nothing interesting.
Because I do remember that was one that my parents actually did go see. And, like, even my dad and my mom, like, both came home and they were like, that was a terrible movie.
Like, there's no news
start to
all.
Finish, yeah. No. So, like, nobody else saw that?
No.
Yeah,
I remember it being a big deal in the theaters.
Right, but still. No, but probably, that. Again, like, we're asking the wrong persons because those movies weren't made for them. You know, like, they were in the market, clearly.
Right. Children.
Children like me. That was the market.
Uncle Pablo. Cousin Pablo's.
No, strangely, he never bring that one.
He's like, something to say for me.
I watch it with my dad, actually. What? Super bonding movie to watch.
I really hope I'm seeing Pablo this week.
Okay, so that's another thing is, like, did any of you ever watch some of these things, like, with your parents?
Yeah, because that's so awkward.
So, my mom and I used to watch 90210 and Melrose Place. And so, it's, you know, you go from, okay, when you're 7 or 8, it was probably more like 8 to 10. You can see Legends of the Fall because of, like, the beautiful in-love sex. And then, like, the smuttiness of 90210 and Melrose Place. And I remember wanting to watch it again when it was on Netflix. I'm like, I can't believe she let me watch this. Because I was, like, 12, 13. And even when it wasn't about sex, sometimes it was. It was just all about, like, the next conquest. Like, extremely shallow and content. So, I mean, just any time, you know, every 12 episodes or something, there'd be a sex scene, and you're like, oh, this is awkward, oh, this is awkward.
Oh, man. At least you didn't need to open your fingers pretending you're not watching.
What about you, Sydney?
I grew up having to fall asleep with pillows over my head because my parents would watch Desperate Housewives at such an oppressive volume on the TV.
Such a vocabulary, oppressive volume.
Yeah, it was on. The TV was directly on the other side of the wall that my bed was up against, and
that was loud.
So I started watching Desperate Housewives with them because I was not falling asleep any time before that show would end. And yeah,
Oh my God.
I'd rather to hear you having real sex than this.
it was just like, such a strange show. Like, I never understood what the goal was. I don't think there was a goal.
It was a clear market.
Again,
it was a clear
market. The target demographic.
Yeah, yeah, definitely not.
You were not a housewife.
No.
Nor desperate.
No.
Yeah. Nor desperate.
I just remember it being so convoluted and just annoying and obnoxious. And I think I there was a lot of negative feelings related to it because I was tired and just wanted to sleep.
Exactly.
Sort of rest.
Yeah. Stop with the lovemaking.
Yeah. But there was just such a dynamic cast in that show. That's, I think, what got me interested after a while of just staying up.
So how did you feel then when they would engage in, like, the more hypersexualized stuff when your parents were, like, in the room? Would they react anyway?
I mean, after every commercial break, there was, like, adult content, like, you know, advisory.
Yeah.
So, like, I knew it was coming and all that, and you could kind of tell when stuff started to heat up, but it was always, I would just sit there and be like, all right, whatever, just gonna look to the side.
Here we go.
Yeah, like.
Do you have a favorite, though?
Do I have a favorite sex scene from the show?
Or? No, a favorite that's
Housewife.
No.
That you were like, oh, I
she was like, no, they could all burn.
I like that.
Yeah, they all sucked.
None of them were spies.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, none of them were spies. Well, one of them was a real bitch, but she was, I don't know, she was just the redhead lady. And
you
got a thing for redheads.
Scary, I do.
Yeah.
She had scary thin eyebrows and, like, this weird bony sternum, and I just, like, I was like, oh.
I remember.
She scared me.
Yeah, don't ask.
Like, all of them reminded me of my mom, so I was like, oh, gross.
What?
There you go, that's the demographic that was, you know.
Yeah.
But what about you, Caroline? Would any of that, like, did that ever come up? Because I know your family, it just wasn't, like, always.
We just watch weird stuff, Chris. I mean, for gosh sakes. I watch Monty Python and, like, Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yes!
Like, all kinds of just off the wall. And, like, Austin Powers. I'm like, why is there smoke coming out of their boobs? Like, none of it made sense to me, but I watched this. But it didn't, and it's stored away. So maybe I just blocked it.
Well, what about then, like, as, like, a teenager? Like, would you ever watch something? Because sometimes you could, like, sit down for a movie with your family and not know, and then, like, a sex scene would come on. Like, did that ever happen?
But again, it happened, but I didn't remember what it was. So,
like, did you... Was it with your mom or your dad?
It was a family, usually, affair, so we'd all be there. I'm like, oh, I really wish I wasn't here right now. But I'd sit and just deal with it.
I would rather to watch something like that than Ben-Hur with all my family, for sure.
So I asked my buddy, and he's just like, I have no freaking clue. He's like, Ben-Hur, why in God's name would they watch Ben-Hur? He even asked his grandparents, and they're like, no Ben-Hur.
Yeah.
What is in Ben-Hur?
It was in the Christmas special. Hugo said one of his greatest Christmas traditions is to gather the family around the TV box and watch Ben-Hur.
Imposed tradition. It wasn't really like a...
All of Mexico apparently does this.
So
Hugo said so. He's the president of Mexico.
Oh.
So back in the day, obviously it wasn't cable or anything, so we would watch open TV or whatever. It wasn't there.
And Ben-Hur was always on.
And the biggest channel or like the biggest network, they will put Ben-Hur every single fucking year at Christmas.
My buddy said the Ten Commandments was usually on it.
That one, too. Yeah. Yes.
The so Charleston like, Heston Ten Commandments. Like, that was out on mine, too.
Five or six
wavy gray hair.
Weekends leading to Christmas, they will put, like, these, like, religious topic, like, movies. But yeah, Ben-Hur was one of those.
So the reason I ask about all your parents' stuff is because when I turned 17, my parents were like, okay, cool, you get to watch three rated R films with us.
Whoa.
Because again...
Just straight like that? Like,
just straight like that, yeah. Cause
come
I remember
on,
it
we
was
don't
like,
have time.
Because again, my mom's a lot like me. However, she was very like, no, you're not old enough to see these things. You just yeah. can't do them. And so when it came time for us to do that, we each of us got to pick those three rated R films that we wanted to see with our parents.
Wow.
And at the time, I remember some of them that I wanted to see were like... was it American Pie?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, no.
We didn't talk about that.
Right. Now, I have, like, Caroline always says it. She's like, you are awkward as fuck. I have no problem, like, when that stuff comes yeah. on and, like, my parents are there or, like, siblings. I'm like, whatever. Like, I have no problem talking about any of this. So I'm watching American Pie, like, with my mom and my dad, like...
Yes, I love
or, that. And then the other ones that I picked were, like, it's some, there's something about Mary.
Oh, no!
And so, like, I had seen enough of something about Mary, like, when I snuck TV, like, with pay-per-view. So I had pieced together most of American Pie and There's Something About Mary before even seeing them. So it wasn't a big deal.
So for Chris, was a big, like, the biggest idea is to experience them with your parents.
No, like, it was just kind of like, I remember it was, like, there was such a commotion in yeah. society over those movies yeah. in particular. And I remember when I saw them, I was like, this really isn't that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And the weirdest thing about There's Something About Mary was the whole, like, putting it in her hair. But again, I remember asking my mom, at point blank, like, I think I was, like, maybe fourth grade, third grade, or was I fourth or fifth? I don't know, one of those. And I asked her, I'm like, why is her hair standing up? And she had no problem just explaining to me, well, when semen dries, it gets hard. And it was, like, on the guy. And she thought it was hair gel, and she just threw it in her hair. And I was like, huh.
Let me try it.
No, I didn't try it, man. But it was just like, okay, that's what it is. And so, it, like, a lot of the movie and, the like, the raunchiness yeah, of yeah. what could have been there, I was just like, yeah, that wasn't so bad.
Right.
So, at least for me, like, it wasn't, like, a big issue.
Again, no open fingers. At all. You're fine.
I mean, like, if they ever did something when we were little, like, they would tell us, oh, go hide in the pantry, like, real quick. If, like, we were all watching, like, something and, like, you know, yeah. something came on, like, that's what my dad would say. Go get in the pantry. And we'd all, like...
That's not a very big pantry, Chris.
Well, it used to be, like, a wooden door and stuff, and I remember, like, being like, I'll show him. I'll just crack this thing a little bit. Just, there you go.
I just have vivid memories of my mom shot in the middle of a sex scene. Gordo, which is like, hey, my, you know, probably honey, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Gordo? I always thought gordo meant fat.
No, but, yeah, it means that, but it's like a...
Like fat, just, like fatty, like old lady.
My chubby like, guy or something like that.
Yeah.
So, it's a lot of like gordo, negative stuff disguised as like...
They're naked and having sex and the kid is watching. Cover your eyes. That's like a vivid memory in my head.
So my dad would just laugh. Yeah. Like, didn't yeah. watch Monty Python, The Meaning of Life, mm-hmm. and all these women are running, like, yeah. topless, and my dad's laughing, and my mom's yeah. like, David! He's like, it's yeah. fine. I'm like, what am I witnessing?
Or, like, the cabaret dinner at the end.
Yeah!
Well, like
yeah, there's just so
don't
much.
Worry, yeah.
yeah.
I'm sorry, Dave, I've never seen The Meaning of Life.
Oh, well, it's you're going to go on a ride. We're going to watch it. Because remember, that's where I go, they don't have any
there
balls.
There you go.
I never know what you're talking
so
about.
Funny.
Or The that. Life of Brian.
Oh,
where, like, that, there's a full frontal
yeah.
scene where he opens some doors yeah. and it's just like, there's
there.
Dick.
Yeah.
Or Biggest Dickus, the Roman Emperor. Yeah.
This sounds
so, yeah,
fun.
So yeah, we're probably going to have to watch that together, Chris.
Oh my God.
So is it worse for guys, though? Because, like, women are not going to get, like, a visible erection in
yeah.
a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, was there ever a situation where...
Well, yeah, like, I'm bringing
where
the,
you're,
like
bringing the pillow and...
No, Mom, it's just like, yeah, these are tight, you know?
When, like, you were, like, younger, yeah, maybe. But, like, even teenage years, even watching, like, stuff like American Pie, I mean, it wasn't, like, boom, full erection, like, right then and there. It was,
Chris
yeah.
walking in this school with a big erection.
Thank God nobody could see that. He's just strutting around.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't, like, hard to, like, hide. Like, younger, yeah. But then again, like, sometimes you'd be in the middle of math class and you just get a rogue boner. Like, it just happened for no reason. You're like, now? Why? So it wasn't like you weren't equipped to, like, deal
hide
with
it
and hide it. Yeah, it wasn't like do or die, like this has never happened before.
Yeah. Actually, I don't think I have bigger reactions watching this movie. So.
Yeah, like...
But like you say, will be more random, like,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
Those are the times where you're just like, this is raging, and I don't know what the hell is happening. Like, why is this happening right now?
Please
don't call on me to get up on the board. I swear to God, I'll shit my pants, like, just to avoid all of this.
Please, God, there's this time I will go to church, but this is the girl I love, and I don't want to have an
But, no, so watching movies wouldn't, like, arouse. Arouse is just be, like, straight, like... boner right out of nowhere. I mean, if you were like all alone and putting yourself in that headspace, sure, why not? But like with people, you're like, I can somewhat be like, the pressures of like society are enough to like scare you out of it.
Yeah. I'm being judged.
You know what? Speaking of like 007, like my brother had like No Shame, my youngest one. I was like 13. I remember like I was old enough to go see 007 because rated PG-13. My mom was like, oh, I guess you follow the rules. But I couldn't go see it. Like by myself, like my brother had to go with me, and I got to bring like a friend. And like Eric would sit there in the movie theater, and when the girls would like take off their clothes, yeah. he'd be like anticipating. He'd be like, "Come on, take off your clothes."
Oh my god!
I mean, because that kid got like privy to everything that I was privy to.
Yeah.
So like he was just like, "Come on."
Salivating.
I will never forget this. We will still make fun of him.
Sitting next to you, whispering.
And he would like rub his hands together, like
ASMR video. Like
now, keep in mind, he's like 4.
Oh, okay.
So he's not a teenager. Like he's an oops kid.
I was thinking this was like a teenager.
No, he's like 4, but
he's a wee man.
He's like, come on, take off your clothes. And the second, I will never forget. I don't remember which James Bond, but like her white nightgown like hit the floor, and you got to see her from behind. He was like. Touchdown! A 4-year-old, but I mean, if he was on this podcast, he would just have tons of them to like ramble off. Like that's a kid who, again, society wouldn't shut him down. He would be like, "It's happening," to let you know, like his dick was hard, and you're like, "God, buddy, no, you can't do that."
A little ball of TMI.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like he has no shame. Like he really doesn't have, even to this day, has like zero shame, and he's like. 28 now?
Shame.
26?
Shame.
He's old, but like he's still the same way.
Wow.
I mean, he doesn't say touchdown when he gets a boner.
Once a little pervert, always a little pervert, you know?
That was his sexual renaissance.
Yeah, wow, 4 years old, watching that white night
awakening renaissance.
Yeah.
All right, guys, to sum it up, any recent movie that kind of like sparked something on you?
I have a book. Do not read Killing Time by Thomas Berger.
Read it.
Do not. Read no. It. No, it sucks. It's only a slightly sexy murder mystery novel.
Only slightly
sexy. Seriously. Every character you're introduced to is thinking about sex a lot. Oh, they thinking about it, but nothing happens. A little bit happens, but it's gross and weird. The main character wants to cut his own dick off and is using that as a bargaining chip for his sanity after strangling 3 people on Christmas Eve.
You know what? I was going to debate you on the weird stuff.
Yeah.
But you know what? No, that's weird.
This is what I've been putting in my life for the past 3 weeks.
You're like that
weeks.
Strange part of the internet that like
she's
people go on at like 2 o'clock in the
my
morning.
Uncle, like my cousin Pablo. It's my cousin Pablo.
This is your new informant.
Yeah,
I'm the last blue link on our space sticks.
What the fuck?
Wow. Anybody else?
Have we
don't look it up.
Anything lately like that?
What do you mean, like what?
Like he's saying that's very like sexy or
sexy?
Yeah, no, just like I don't know, like make you think about your sexuality in a way.
Isn't this just your general closing? Like
yeah, but it could be a recommendation.
I watched porn yesterday.
Recommendation.
If you want to make your recommendation in this,
so
like
you're
you can do
like a recent
thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have one.
Oh, go for it.
Okay, because I can tell you're thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, I was watching The Romanoffs, and I just am so perplexed by Christina Hendricks' breasts.
Yes!
So,
they're my favorite!
Well, I'm trying to decide, like...
We have a debate here.
Yeah. So I find her super attractive.
Yeah.
So, were they real? So, like, I saw this scene, and I'm legit, like... laying there Googling Christina Hendricks' breasts to see if I can find like a better picture. So you think they're real?
Oh yeah. There's no before or after.
Like how can they be that big?
I went to high school with a girl who needed breast reductions because she hit puberty and naturally was just like triple
F's, because she's curvy, but they're like humongous.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So anyway, sorry, that's what's been on my mind lately.
I like Christina. Fantastic.
Damn. Hendrix breasts.
You gotta figure out those breasts.
Well, I can't compete with Christina Hendricks, so. I don't have big men boobs, so.
Thank God.
Consult drag queens. They have great tips on that.
On contouring.
Yeah.
I don't, like, yeah. We've been just trying to catch up on, like, random shows or just starting new ones because we have, like, show holes of just, like, shows ending. Like, we just finished Deadwood. Mm. And that show, like, I found out, just ends.
Hey, you're like, making a movie, though.
But the movie's happening, and I'm so excited.
So, again, I guess the sexuality from there was interesting, to say the least, of just, like, it's a whorehouse, $7 for a little pony up. Like, the way it was all treated and stuff. I'm glad they didn't pull any punches, but Jesus. Like, thank God it's on HBO.
It's on HBO?
Yeah, it's an HBO show. So 3 seasons, about 12 episodes each. Mm. Very well done. I'm glad, like she said, making a movie. Yeah. But I don't think we've really, like sat down and had seen anything. Because the latest movie we saw was that Bird Box on Netflix.
Sandra Bullock.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not, you know, that wasn't anything
for
special.
For me, I guess, it's not even like a wood spark, a lot of stuff. But it made me think, for sure. Is that scene in The Shape of Water?
So we see. Oh, we still haven't seen it.
Grinding Nemo.
Now I need to know.
We haven't seen it.
I don't think
that film is just so beautiful. Like, you know, I'm not that visual of a person. I'm all about like auditory stimulus.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about sex.
Well, this
or
is
am I?
So you do the dirty talk.
No, just like I always joke that like a kid would have a marijuana shirt and I wouldn't even notice. Like, but I'll notice the way someone said something and remember. But like visually, that movie was just stunning.
It's so funny. The last two directors, they're Mexican. Well, it doesn't surprise me that the guys know each other. Mm-hmm. But they're making like these poem of almost classic cinema, just bringing to like the new era, I guess. Mm-hmm.
The Universal monster movie
The Mummy
franchise thing.
Oh, it didn't happen. It was at first it was supposed to go to Guillermo del Toro Universal.
Oh.
He put some like, if I'm gonna do that, I want more control and these are my visions. And I'm like, it's like dumbass.
And he's at least a strong enough director to go like, well, I'm not willing to compromise my vision, so I'm walking away. And he did. He went out and he made The Shape of Water.
And then we have Tom Cruise.
No, and then you have a failed Tom Cruise and a failed Monsters Universe. They're rebooting it. They rebooted it with Dracula, and then they're rebooting it again with The Mummy, and then they rebooted it again with whatever they're gonna make next. So those two iterations are just nothing.
Yeah. If I was Universal, like, here's a blank check, what you want.
Yeah,
I'd go back to him and then say that that's the Swamp Man, and let him do each one. Sure. I know Caroline finally thought of one for us. I mean, I guess in some ways.
No. It was just Aquaman, because he's nice to look at, but the actual time to connect it, I was like, this is so cheesy.
Jason Momoa and the big chi-chis,
I love your ab tattoos, Jason Momoa.
Your hair is beautiful. Yeah. Bro.
Why? Those your real eyes or those contacts?
It's just beautiful to look at.
I think it's... Well, I like the idea of Jason Momoa putting another, like, layer on the what you think of a sexy man. Like, he's not your average, you know, clean guy and
stuff. I mean, he's a pretty average hunk, I'd say.
Yeah, but, like, you know that now girls feel attracted to at least another, you know, type of person.
Versus just your standard more clean cut white guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think girls have been attracted to a whole variety of individuals throughout the annals of time.
No, but I mean, talking about movies and media, there's not a lot of guys like him being like the sex symbol, I guess.
Yeah, but even like comic book Aquaman and then like what they chose to go with.
Well,
culturally,
that's what she was trying to hit on, is that they broke that mold.
Yeah,
I see.
That's
okay.
What I appreciate.
The fact that he can make Aquaman kind of be cool, like that's an achievement right there.
Yeah, the fact that they didn't make him look like Fred from Scooby-Doo.
Which was the mold that they had to cast him in. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
That's,
Got it. Whoosh.
All right. Just to let's jump to what we watched recently besides
I mean, we watch Bird Box. I'll let you talk.
Do you like it?
It's another iteration of, like...
Quiet Place.
Quiet Place, but I like Quiet Place better.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, I appreciate what I was trying to do, and I love Sandra Bullock, but it just... It was intense, and I just kind of didn't let up.
It played with the story motif of, like, a present flashbackwards, back in the present flashbackwards, present flashbackwards, to try to draw out the story, because, again, the premise of it is really thin, and they never explain it, and they never show any kind of monster. And so it's a smoke and mirrors trick, and so it feels really cheap versus A Quiet Place, which plays on the whole Jaws motif of, like, hiding it for most of the movie, and then once... It does show it. You're like,
petrified.
Yeah, you're and just like, sound. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Good sound mixing design. I know that one. But.
And showing restraint in your horror movie. Mm-hmm. Like, the most recent The Thing movie. It was like, the monster pops out every freaking 10 seconds.
You mean it? It's still it.
The scrappy. No, The Thing. No, The Thing.
The Thing.
The movie. The one you've never seen The Thing?
No.
What?
The monster that shapeshifts and looks like people or a dog or whatever.
With Carpenter.
No.
No?
Never.
With that guy.
Anyway, the idea is that the alien does not reveal itself. Yeah, alien?
No, why would I see this? You know this. It's an alien? No. Yeah. Screw that.
God damn it, I was trying to make it work.
No, never seen this.
No.
You're scared of aliens?
No, but you're not going
to Don't listen to that scary podcast. Yeah.
Do you see them getting all
action? Yeah.
No.
Wow.
No, but it's a kind of different
thing. Okay.
Oh, don't care.
Your aliens is my ghosts then. Or,
it's just a big old.
Possession in
general. Yeah, it's just a big old nope.
Okay. Tall glass of nope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
But yeah, I agree on that.
Yeah.
And then the CGI is terrible.
Well, no, but showing restraint with your monster and it having it reveal itself only when it absolutely needs to, when it's crucial to. The story.
Right.
I feel like that kind of ties into our sex theme, like showing restraint with your monster.
Yeah.
Look at Nicole.
Hashtag.
Hashtag monster's a dick.
Hashtag show restraint with your monster.
Restrain your monster.
Restrain your monster.
So has anyone seen Teeth?
No.
Oh,
but now,
God, no.
We know what it is, and we have just chosen not to. It does not have my consent to be on my screen.
Go ahead.
Bag monster.
But do you watch it recently?
Oh, not recently, but I've seen it. Yeah.
But you recommend it?
No.
See, no.
No.
But no, Bird Box, I say it's not worth your time. What do you say?
I think it's worth a watch. There.
Just to like, I don't have nothing to watch.
Right,
probably.
If you'd like the genre, if you, you know.
Sandra Bullock.
You're right. There are times where it's really intense, but like being on this side of it and knowing that like, because I remember towards
the
end, you and Caitlin towards the end were like, oh my God, are we going to see it? Are we going to see the monster? Is this? And then it just, not. Because there's a lot of buildup and then just.
Yeah. I guess what you're trying to say, if you watch already A Quiet Place, then don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, Caitlin saw this one before A Quiet Place. I'm like, no, we should have watched that first. Yeah. Why didn't you tell me that?
But yeah. All right. So that's what we saw. So that's just a yeah. A recommendation, so to speak, of like it might be worth your time if you got nothing.
Sit.
I haven't really watched any movies recently. Good movies.
Well, what about books, music, or somebody that you follow on Instagram? There's an artist that you can feel interested in.
Books. I started reading Clockwork Orange.
Ooh.
It's really slang heavy. It's very like Cockney jargon. Mm-hmm. I can't read it when I'm tired because then I'm like, what's happening? Yeah, but it looks short and sweet. It's only like 212 pages, whereas my last book that I read was 377 pages, and it got good at 225.
Oh gosh.
I'm a patient reader, but
yeah, definitely.
Even then, it forgot about its female characters for more than half the book. Yeah. Some people were just introduced and then never talked about ever again, and that was kind of weird.
How did that get published?
I know it. Well, it was written in 1967, and I feel like that was kind of a sexual revolution time in America, and it was like the writing style of the dialogue is very. Indicative of that, you can tell that there's something going on culturally, but I just am not super in tune with what was happening in 1967.
Right.
It reads a lot like Catcher in the Rye. Mm. So if you like those Holden Caulfield characters that are like edgy and like, where do the ducks go in winter? Like shit like that, you know? It's like, no one cares. Holden Caulfield, go home. You're drunk. But yeah, it's like trying to be a philosophy book and just failing. So
another not recommendation.
Yeah, if you're into that, go read it.
Are you planning to finish Clockwork Orange and then watch the movie?
I've already seen Clockwork Orange, the movie,
okay.
And I like it quite a bit.
No.
But yeah, I was interested. It was recommended to me to read it.
It's pretty good.
So
yeah,
I'm excited.
Nicole.
Okay, so I have a book and a show because I'm all about the shows. I've been watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, and it's just so good. It's so like light and fun. Yeah, I really like it. So books. I've read every book by Victor Villaseñor. He's a Latino author who's from Oceanside. Like, his parents were from Mexico. His dad was a bootlegger here in, like, the 20s. They have this ranch in Oceanside. He writes a lot, like, about their love story. Mm-hmm. But one of his books is called Crazy Local Love, and it's about, like, his adolescence. And I thought of it because one of you was saying something about, like, a character wanting to cut off his own penis.
Yeah.
So he's... Sydney. Okay. So he goes through that in this book.
Oh, my God.
As he, like, is turning into adolescence because he is, like, from the strong Catholic, like, sin upbringing.
Yeah. I feel
and, you know,
bad
he's
about
starting
everything.
To, like, masturbate. And anyway, so all of his work is good, but it reminded me of tonight just, like, the... kind of sexual angst. And there's stuff about, you know, like, so when was he was coming of age in, like, 60s and 70s. Hmm. So that culture, you know, he was probably one of the few Latinos, like, in the North County area that was going to, like, public high school. And so contrasting, like, his views of sexuality with what was going on in, like,
the hippies,
white America. Yeah, so just super good book.
Sweet. For me, like I said in the beginning, make you a favor and go watch Roma. Stop doing whatever you're doing. Focus the movie and have fun. And just be patient a couple of first minutes. Just build up and then you'll get rewarded. Yeah, it's kind of one of those that start building, then like, boom. Like, the last half of the movie goes so fast because so much stuff going on. Something else, I didn't watch anything else recently, but if I'm going to recommend... Like, if you don't want to watch Roma, but then you want to watch something fun and not think about much, you should watch Reign of Fire. It's a movie about dragons, like this post-apocalyptic world where dragons comes to life. And it's, I think it's Christian Bale in there and Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, my God, I actually saw that in theaters.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
my
nothing
God.
Like,
what
you
year?
Know, wow.
That would have
probably
been...
Probably 98?
No, that was 2000. Four? I think that was 2000. That was just 2000, I think.
Cusp of the millennium.
Yeah. Reign of Fire, here it is.
2002, yeah.
There you go.
I remember seeing that in theaters.
It is fun, and it's like early Matthew McConaughey and...
Yeah, he's almost unrecognizable in the
he's
film.
Bald.
Wow. He's bald, he's got a big beard.
Mm-hmm. And he plays a psycho kind of thing. But it's fun. I mean, dragons.
Yeah, it's just like what happens if dragons were discovered beneath London, and then all of a sudden, like they just started like burning down everything, and humans live in fear. And like, I remember one of the most memorable scenes from that movie was them reenacting Star Wars for all the little kids, but they would do like little vignettes and stuff, and they were just on the Empire, and it made you think like, oh crap! Like, if everything did go to shit, like you have like that's literally how we have to go back to telling stories, and how these kids like literally have no idea.
Pretty much.
Of what
kind
any
of like
of
Mad
are.
Max, but with dragons, really.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I'm okay with that.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
Mad Max plus dragons.
All right.
And my last thing, just as a plus, I think we talked last time about this one, but let me just really go. I need to. The name. It was an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
Predator.
No.
It's my favorite Christmas movie.
Oh, that's a good movie. No. It was around 2000.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Oh, End of Days. Watch it. I watched that recently. It's a movie that came in 1999 with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it was right before the 2000 when the world was supposed to go to hell. So basically, it's kind of like he's hunting the devil. The devil comes at night, gets into a girl, and tries to have birth of his son. It's cheesy, but it's fun.
I love this movie. It's so great.
I had never heard of this.
It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh my god! And he's like fighting the devil in the church at the end. It's so great.
Yeah, it probably didn't age that great, but in my head, it's like, it's awesome.
I remember seeing that scene, too, and being like, this is awful, but it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. You have, like, plenty of stuff to, like, try to watch this week. And, you know, the holiday weekends, because I think we're going to be back until probably after New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
So that's it for today. We give you plenty of content. It's almost 2 hours, so you can break it. You're cooking the turkey, and then you stop, you go to shit, and then you hear a little bit more. You go to shower, you have sex, and then you play it right when you're
done.
Yeah. Who needs mood music when you can just put on Garage Media Junkies?
We are your foreplay.
Yeah.
Hashtag we are your foreplay. Yeah.
We're getting pretty good hashtags. We need to start making shirts. There you go. Yeah. That's the next goal. For the podcast, thank you so much for another year of listening to us just talking nonsense.
I know.
And a lot of shit. I don't know how people still hear us.
Remember to comment, and you may win
the book. Yeah.
Rude food book.
Put a review on iTunes or any other the services. Remember, we're in Google Play and Stitcher, because actually some people are like, just an iTunes, you fucking pig capitalist. Like, okay, I'm just going to put it. You're going to put another.
Wow.
Let's spread the love. And we're planning to maybe, like, finally make it, tape it, put it on YouTube. But that definitely takes more work.
Yeah.
And it's not like we're making millions of dollars in here.
So help motivate us by just giving us a few good comments or ratings.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and,
or money, if you want to give us money, we're open to that, too.
I mean, if you guys, there's plenty of people out there that come into us, like, you know what, yeah, I want to cooperate or, like, give you some tips, like, maybe we set up on Patreon or PayPal or something like that, some sorts.
Feedback is always welcome.
And, yeah, that's it. Some words that you want to tell to the audience, this ending of... Year.
I just appreciate everybody taking the time out of their day to listen to us. Whether you are like working or you are just, you know, or running. Just the fact that you were like, oh, a new episode popped up. I'm going to listen to it. The fact that you carve time out of your day to just sit here and listen to us. Because it's not a short podcast. So.
No.
I mean.
But it was a sign like that.
I also really do want to thank our wives that allow us to do this every week.
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
And it's not a short commitment either. I mean, I still remember when we were on episode like 4 or 5 and Nicole's like, what's the joke? And he was like, we're going to make it to episode 100. Uh-huh. She goes, she's doing the math because, you know, being the...
We had a new baby and I was like, he's going to be like 3.
Yeah.
He's going to be 3.
And I remember thinking, I'm like, we're never going to make that. And here we are at literally 69/70. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, okay.
So I really do want to thank both of you, Caroline and Nicole. Thank you for being here so much. And Sydney, thank you for just jumping in.
I know. It was like a perfect like add-on. Like as soon as I met her, well, the way I proposed it, it was weird.
No, it was because I remember. I won't forget.
It was so bizarre.
Yeah, she can tell you.
She just, there was this fear in her face. She's like, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to come back. I don't want to do any of this. And he's like, no, it's just us in the garage. She goes, oh.
Okay.
I thought you meant, like, talking in front of people, like, in an auditorium.
You know, sometimes I still have a few, like, grammar mistakes when I talk, clearly. So I meant to, like, hey, you want to be in the podcast? But I told him, how are you good talking in front of people?
Yeah. That, just to like me, that. Meant, like, on a stage.
It's like, no.
Like, no, God, no.
Yeah.
I actually shake uncontrollably. When I need to speak in public.
And what you guys don't see is that's all she does. She just shakes in here.
It's like Parkinson's up in here.
She's like a little chihuahua.
Yeah.
But it was great.
Who's the guy from Back to the Future?
Michael J. Fox. Too soon.
Oh.
Too soon. I love Michael. I'm kidding. Yeah.
But no, she was a good ad. So it's evolving and I'm liking where it's going. So
Thank you, ladies, for all the support.
Your wife who says you're welcome.
Your wife, my real wife. You know, thank you, Sydney. That's you're never welcome. Going away.
It's not going away.
All right, we try to sleep tonight. She could be like, wife who says good night.
Wife who needs water.
Yeah, wife who needs water.
It's like, well, that's it, guys. Have a great holidays with happy the people holidays. That you love. And hashtag Halos. Like, special in the holidays. It's cold.
Yeah.
It's good to have some intercourse to drop some pounds. A lot of food.
Or just cuddle for warmth.
Naked.
But it's a lot of food.
In the nude.
Why are we German? In the nude.
Because whenever you're naked,
you're in the nude. Okay. Let's go before we start. Adios, guys.
Bye.